You're listening to Fakeologist's Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to fakeologist.com/radio3. To participate in the chat, go to fakeologist.com/audio chat. Each day, we compress and upload the day's chat, be it big or small. Leave a quick message, do a whole show. All are welcome when it's related to fakeology. Now, on with today's audio. All right, we're here in the live stream right now. It is Monday, May 23rd, 2016. In Canada, it's Victoria Day. And we're joined here in the live stream on fakeologist.com/radio3 by Style Flex and the old standby, Tom Delpra. Welcome, boys from Britain.
Hi there, Tim.
Good evening.
It's been a long time, but I don't get much opportunity to chat.
Well, when I knew that you were going to join me, I thought for sure I have to try and be there, even though this is a vacation day here, Canada. We're celebrating Queen Victoria's birthday. I don't remember how far back she was running the place. You guys remember?
We don't even fucking celebrate it here anymore. Yeah, she finished about 1901, didn't she? I don't know.
Yeah,
she wrapped it up. She wrapped it up at the turn of the century, just after the turn. I wonder what the old, we have another queen in her dotage or whatever.
Well, somebody told me, maybe you guys know, you should know, it's part of your curriculum, it must be. How is she related to the present queen?
Gosh, she must be at least.
Well.
Great grandfather, isn't he?
Her son.
Alright, you're both fired as British citizens.
Her son's.
Who was her son?
Where's the queen's grandfather? Is that right?
Well, who was her son?
Grandmother.
It is the great grandmother, yeah, that's what I heard. Who was Queen Victoria's son? And what did he. Did he become
she
anything?
She had a competition.
Edward VII came after her, didn't he?
Yeah, and then didn't she have two?
I need to get my book of facts out.
George.
Who was the stutterer? That was Queen Elizabeth's father.
That was George VI. He had the stutter. He died.
And he was a king.
Yeah.
He was Elizabeth's father, right?
Yeah. 1937 to 1952. Prox.
Yeah, you got it there, Felix. Yeah, because I'm sort of winging it a bit. But it's interesting chronology because you have the royal family very much over there, Toronto. And I grew up, it's like an expat, you might call it, community. The bit of an England-Toronto thing going on. A little bit, yeah. British Columbia, sort of Britain, the old empire.
Yeah, when I was a boy, I used to collect stamps. And, you know, I was always amazed that the Canadian stamps had the Queen on them. You know, it was just like here, really, wasn't it?
Yes, it was a bit like that. Canada had a feel of... you always say that, Tim, don't you? The influence is there. Very much so.
Oh, my goodness. It's everywhere. It's never left.
You've still got Victoria Day. Yeah.
British Columbia.
Well, this used to be British North America, for God's sakes.
Why don't they rename Canada British North America again?
Oh, that's a good idea.
The only thing we'll rename, the only time they'll replace a British name as long as it's with a native name. Like Canada's the native name, Toronto's native, Mississauga's native. That's the only way they'll do it. They probably won't go the other way and back to British stuff.
Regina, Saskatchewan, that sort of thing.
Right. Well, Toronto used to be called York. Just York.
Oh, right. Interesting.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, the original, down on the lakeshore, there's Fort York, where they fired guns across at the Americans if they ever dared sail across Lake Ontario. They just blow them out of the water. We have Fort George is on Niagara. We fire across the Niagara River at the Americans. And, yeah, everything is British here. There's just There's British and native naming. That's it. There's nothing else.
We see that as like the Matrix, don't we, really? You know, they're kind of writing the name of royalty into the roads and into the people's consciousness. Yeah. In a way, you could say it's a psyop in itself, isn't it?
If you ever wondered where you came from or who rules over you, there you go. Their names are everywhere. And they're not, we don't go down the Israeli highway. We're not ruled by Jews. They're not going down any Jewish highways or anything like that. That's what drives me nuts about these people that are so deceived by who's running the place. Come on, when I go anywhere, I go down the Queen's Highway. All the highways here are the King's Highways, for goodness sake. One of our biggest highways is named after Elizabeth herself. She opened the thing back when she was a girl.
Queen's Highway. Yeah, well, it's certainly
it's called the Queen Elizabeth.
Liz doesn't run it, but she is the you could point to that as a direct front for obviously real power. So where the real power comes from behind her, I don't know, but who they are exactly, so to speak. But I suppose
I travel down the Queen Elizabeth Way every day. Even the lampposts have two letters E and R on them. Most Canadians would have no idea what E and R stand for.
Yeah.
You guys probably know, right?
Elizabeth, Elizabeth Regina. For Elizabeth.
As in Saskatchewan.
Yeah, that's the capital of Saskatchewan, that's right.
And that's named after Queen Victoria, I guess, is it?
I don't know when they named it Regina, but yeah, that sounds possible. They must be going nuts today in Regina.
Regina, yeah. Yes, it sounds a bit like vagina, doesn't it?
It sounds a lot like it. Not even a bit. It's a lot.
I try.
What would you like to talk about today, Tommy?
Well, Queen Victoria's vagina, I think, is first on the menu. Let's tuck in. She had a Prince
Let's
Albert.
Dig into that.
Well, you know, Prince Albert, her husband, he gave the name to the penis piercing thing. You get a Prince Albert and you get a ring put through your penis. Is that because he had one? I don't know.
Yes.
He did have one. But she was a bit, she was a game girl. She lived into her 80s. She was a good empress. And at the sort of end, they call it the end. Maybe it's superficially presented as that, as the end of the empire to us in these days. Right? You know, when the empire was great in the time, the Victorian times, you know. She had a long reign and a lot happened really at the end, towards the end of it, because we get these things like we get our evolution and dinosaurs and sort of stuff coming out of those Victorian times, those gentlemen. Interesting.
Well, let's say something to Zyle, because he worked so hard to get here. And Zyle, how you been? What are you looking into today?
I'm quite interested in that Canadian forest fire. You know, you put up a video about the artificial creation of that forest fire in Alberta. And they were like creating these incredibly hot conditions up there and keeping the rain away. And it wasn't quite clear how they were doing that, but it would seem to be like something going on around Calgary. Did you see that?
No, Calgary is way far south of Fort McMurray, though.
Yeah, but when you looked at the map, there was like the interference was way south of where the actual dry area where the fires were.
So are you reporting that they tried to engineer? Well, I think they can engineer the weather to a degree, but are you purporting that they engineered the dry conditions so as to light a tinderbox on fire?
Well, I'm not purporting. I was just sort of following the video that you put up there.
Yeah, I don't remember what was in it.
Oh, I can't.
No, you can.
There are so many videos I'm watching. You just lose track of it all. There's just so many fake events going on, you know, all the news is fake and it just all tumbles into one another.
Yeah, I mean, forest fires, it's unsurprising that they happen. Do you know what I mean? I think it's almost part of, very easy to set one off. I nearly set a fire, I do a bit of gardening, I nearly set a fire with a cigarette the other day. I couldn't believe it, how quickly it shot up. And I thought, well, it would be so easy. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's
the story was,
Felix is suggesting they control the weather to make it dry I don't think, are you Felix, you know, to make forest fires happen.
But did you not see the video?
I think there might be some level of
the video
control.
suggested there was some sort of agenda to shut down the tar sands operation up in northern Alberta.
Oh, okay.
That agenda is 40 years old, though. As a matter of fact, the whole operation wasn't wildly profitable until the price of oil tripled and quadrupled. Otherwise, it's just a very expensive process.
Yes, yeah, so the price of oil has dropped, hasn't it? So what do you want to do? Do you want to knock it on the head? Is that what the producers want to do? And just set fire to the area and clear out the population? I mean, where have all these thousands of people gone? I mean, is it a ghost town?
Just before the fire, there were reports of entire streets that were for sale because everyone was laid off. And
so there are 80,000 people there, and so it was just like a relocation, was it? Well, we get very little news over here in Europe about that.
No, the price of oil has been down for how long now? A year?
Yeah.
Okay, well, the cost to produce oil is about $30 a barrel range in that area. So if the price of oil is anywhere around $30, then they're wasting their time there. You see, that's the problem. So they did lay off, I would guess, half the population in the last year.
And my only comment was, as
terrible as fires are, it's kind of opportune in the sense that half the town was probably empty anyway because these people bought overinflated priced houses because of supply and demand. That makes sense. And if you lose your job, then you're not going to pay your mortgage and you're going to have to walk away. That's it. What are you going to, there's only one, it's a, that's what happens when you're in a one industry town.
It strikes me, actually, the idea of controlling a fire in some way at this certain time of year or whatever is, it would be a clever way of land clearance, wouldn't it?
That's what the video maker was putting over, you know, it was,
yeah.
Whether it's
well, some of it, you put it up and it didn't look that blackened, did it? As you put some of the original reporting up, Tim, I remember seeing. It didn't look that black. That's what I wanted to see. I wanted to see all this black stuff as a remnant of it, but I don't know. It looked a bit burnt, but it looked like the demolition team had been through a bit, but then again, you know, I don't know.
I don't know.
And it was supposed to be 80,000 people and they've all gone. That's a massive population movement. Where did they go to?
I don't think they've all gone. I don't know. There's only one road in and one road out. So they would just go to the neighboring major cities, Saskatoon, or Edmonton.
Well, just go there. You know,
they just get in their car and leave.
It's a very effective, you know, fire. I mean, we've got to, in our study of these things, we have to think, well, you know, has fire been used in this way?
If they hadn't already left, I'm sure they already left. If the house is for sale and you don't have a job, you're not going to stay anyway, are you?
So they'd already gone. So the story's fake because they set fire to a place that was empty. Yet they're telling us there are 80,000 people living. Doesn't make sense.
Yeah, well,
like all news stories.
They've already told everyone in. Anyone that uses insurance, which is everyone, that they'll be paying for this, including me and you, and maybe not you, but...
Yeah.
Well, that's what happens with all these PSYOPs, isn't it? We all pay for them. They're all publicly funded.
Well, that's true, and the insurance industry will pay for it. And I'm just saying we're paying
for it. It's the people, the insurance premium payers who pay for it, you know.
Of course.
It's not so much the money, so much as us. It's sort of keeping the system going, isn't it? We're paying for our own,
upkeep.
Submission. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our upkeep. Yeah. It's not as if, you know, they need the money. Yeah. It's a way of control and in a way that and it's legal then because we've paid for it.
Yeah. Well, we in Canada, the last big thing we paid for was the downtown of some French town called Lac Megantic, where they simulated a rail disaster in the downtown district, and now they have a new downtown.
Yeah, I remember that one. It was an obvious hoax, wasn't it, Lac Megantic?
Well, that was the biggest post-war evacuation in Toronto, wasn't it, I seem to remember, at the time.
No, that was something else. That was something else. I'm talking about...
Reminded you of it. Yeah,
that's where the reason, isn't it, Megantic?
It was another train one, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was the Mississauga. Here we go with Mississauga again. Mississauga train derailment. 33rd car.
Now, Carlo. Yeah, oh, that bloke you put on the site today, was it, God, what a joker that Patricia Steerer was having on and promoting. So this must be abundantly clear now to us, Tim, that this Flat Earth thing was an operation by, as you know, it was pushed in 2015 to get to this point. Yes, and these people are agents, aren't they? I mean, surely. This bloke's twittering on there. What the fuck's he on about? I don't know.
Who do you mean? Do you mean Lift the Veil?
Yes, I do. Well done for working out from my garble who I was talking about.
What do you think, Zyle?
He was an actor. He was in a film. I don't have any...
Yeah.
I don't have any brief him, the Matt Postal Boylan. Service, but the Postal Service has found out that he was an actor in a film years ago.
There we go. Yeah. Him and Matt Boylan.
And PK. Well, PK was too, don't forget. PK.
Yeah, PK was. I mean, I think PK's genuinely angry.
Yeah, he's fucking putting it on, mate. He don't give a shit, really.
I don't think PK's controlled.
Tom, okay, you have your reservations on
know.
PK?
I have not too many, but if you see if the company that he keeps, or he's played a game, he might have played a cagey game, I don't know. David Weiss has been on with him, and I don't know, he might be all right. He might be straight, Felix, you might be right, my friend.
The only people we can trust are ourselves, you know.
Well, that's it. You want to trust people. We want to trust people. It'd be nice to trust some more people. So how many can we trust? This Postal Service is making a good case. For this guy being a shill.
He's upset Simon, isn't he? And
he's upset Simon.
A shill, yeah.
He's called Simon Shill, and Simon's called him a no
stalker.
Good or something.
No, he calls the Postal Service. He said that guy named himself after the Social Service, Simon Ben. And he calls the Postal Service his personal stalker.
Right. Right. Oh, okay. Yeah, I remember that now. Right. Yeah, yeah.
So round and round we go, right?
All yeah, a bit like that. So the Postal Service is getting brownie points by, you know, getting in the pantomime sort of, oh, no, he isn't. Look at him here. So he looks good saying what he is at the moment. But in actual fact, he's probably one of those.
We don't know what on earth's going on, do we?
No, it's hard to tell.
I trust you.
The only thing I don't trust about you, Felix, is the way you spell your name. I can't remember how to spell it. I have to keep looking it up. Why did you make it so hard?
That came about because it was I was typing something in, and the typing bar jumped, and I ended up with half of it, and then I carried on typing the rest of it, and I thought, I'll leave it. But you see, it's quite a searchable word. When I'm doing some research, I try to find out what I've written before, and you can, if you've got a weird sort of name, you can sort of search for it. So if I put Exolephalex in, I can find what I've written in the past.
Yeah, you've got it spelt differently in the chat here. Another I, isn't there? It's
in
Phylex.
The chat. I made
it's
a spelling mistake.
Phylex.
Yeah, when I put it in the chat, I registered it, and I realised I miskeyed it.
Why don't you register the proper one and get rid of this one?
It's too complicated. I'm too lazy.
I call you Xylephilex. Xylephilex. It's quite good.
So
it sound like you're in the asterisk books.
So it is Felix backwards.
Yeah, it is sort of.
And then forward. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We cleared that mind fuck up.
Sort of. Yeah. Well, mine are Dal Tempra, Tom Dalpra, Dal Tempra. It's not an anagram, is it? But it's just...
Yeah, what are you doing with your name? What's this Dal Tempra nonsense? What's going on there?
Well, that's the same thing. I mean, it's just like almost an anagram, but not. Someone said it accidentally once and called me it, but in referring to me, someone that I know, a friend of mine. And I just, you know, just looking for a pseudonym one day, just for the chat or whatever. Just put it in. But I mean, that's not the same one. Yeah,
it's an anagram.
It's an anagram of
Ladat Pram, isn't it? Ladat Pram.
Well, lad at pram. Well, I was a lad at pram. Yeah, I still am. I'm a child. Yeah. Child at heart. My pram. It was a completely random. There's nothing in it at all, really, other than it's like Trixie and is of tampering, you know, Dal Tempra, tamper maybe, you know. Just a fun name. I thought it sounded quite all right. No. Because the other one was just my name, you know, totally out there in the public. Like, what was it? Behind the veil. Lift the veil, says he. I'm out there, man. I'm in the public. So am I.
Actually, well, now I've got you, Zyle. Did I ever get you to do a bumper for the station saying that, hi, this is Zyle Felix?
I do. And you're listening. And I muffed it, though. I wasn't very good at it.
I haven't done one either.
You didn't. You've done one, haven't you? You were singing in yours.
I've never heard mine. You've never put it on anything I've ever listened to.
I gotta do that. Why don't you both do it again then, in case I don't have it? I have two directories. I probably forgot. Go ahead, Zyle. You go first.
What do you want me to say?
You say hi. This is Zyle Felix, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Hello. This is Zyle Felix. On the Fakeologist Radio. This is Fakeologist.com. Is that wrong? I've forgotten already.
Take two.
Hello, this is Sile Felix on the Fakeologist Radio at Fakeologist.com.
That's all right.
You almost got it right. You say, hi, this is Sile Felix. You're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Hi, this is Sile Felix. You're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
That was very good.
That sounds like our answer phone message.
Yeah, I'll see if I can do one.
All right, I know for sure you've done one, but do one anyway. We'll do a new one. Are you going to play the guitar?
Oh, yeah, I probably did do one, but it's rubbish. It was too quick. It was so stupid.
Okay. Just do a plain Jane one then?
It's a bit too quiet. Hello, this is Tom Dalbra, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio at Fakeologist.com. It's rubbish. Do it again.
Fakeologist.com isn't rubbish.
It's not. It's great. Forget it. Yeah, oh, we're on the live stream. I forgot. I thought we were still in the lobby. Anyway. No.
I'm going to do it again?
Jingles.
You're fine. Do it again.
Hello, this is Tom Dalbra, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio at Fakeologist.com.
Oh, that's romantic. Yeah, that getting me like in the mood.
That was coming from a Cambridge University common room, wasn't it? Hello, this
well,
is
actually, yes, hello. I'm Tom Dalpro, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio at fakeologist.com. Yes. Many a voice. Anyway, yes.
Wow.
Felix.
You can do 100 voices.
Oh, yes. I'm an actor, you know. But I'm not one of those professional actors like those pesky little flat earthers.
Do we have Zyle Flex's opinion on the flat earth thing yet? I don't know. Do we have your opinion yet? Have you pronounced it?
I'm not interested in it. It's I'm relaxed about where we are.
That's similar to Psyoptic Pickles.
Yeah. I'm not bothered really. I don't think it's flat. I am interested in Antarctica, but I think it's just because they make it so out of bounds, and, you know, we think it's all flat,
but why is it out of bounds? Is it not related to the shape of the Earth?
I don't know. I've no idea. I don't know why NASA's so busy there. I don't know. It's beyond my pay grade. It's not like we can go there and check it out, is it?
No.
But
I
think a lot of these expeditions that go across Antarctica, they're fake, I'm pretty sure. These people who cycle across
No doubt.
So why are they faking expeditions there?
Yes,
walking to
that's
the South
right.
Pole. They walk to the South Pole and then nobody comes out to greet them. Like, they're the first person ever to appear for like 9 months and nobody bothers when they pop by. It is just too silly for words.
And Felix and I grew up in England here with absolutely at school being drummed in the story of Captain Scott and his failed South Antarctic expedition, didn't we, Felix?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and you kind of feel, these things can seem intuitive, you know. So, you know, I keep my head on it all. I don't think I'm not leaping to the world being flat, but...
it was a disaster, wasn't it? We didn't get to the pole first.
We did. The Norwegians did.
Yeah.
Amundsen. But yeah, I suppose it was the gallant failure would be a good enough story to tell to your nation. But it also was sort of how hostile it was down there.
Yeah, I've got over that disappointment.
So Felix, you have no opinion on the shape of the earth. So then, you have no opinion on the shape of the earth. What are some of the cast of characters that have come on the scene for over a year now?
I can't hear Tim, sorry.
Okay, let's try that again. So what of this new cast of characters that have come on the scene in the past year?
I just think they're like all playing a game with each other. Some of them are very clever, articulate people, but I don't know. I'm not interested at all in it. I'm just interested in like the day-to-day psyops that fill our newspapers. I mean, the newspapers aren't full of Blackbear stories, are they?
Yeah, that's true. So you're into the day-to-day local psyops, I would think, mostly? Or nationwide?
I mean, most news is fake, I think. Most of the stuff when we turn on the radio, it's not true, but it just interests me. It interests me, you know, how they do it and why
they do it. How long have you been taking in the news as fake? And did you consume the news before just as a regular consumer?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I consumed it till, probably a few years ago.
Yeah.
And now, but as your vision, your psyop vision gets clearer, then you realise pretty well everything is fake, and the same stories jump off the page at you as just preposterous, when in fact a few years ago they would have seemed quite reasonable.
Yes, I'm the same way. The whole, is it getting worse just because the news is more concentrated now?
It's getting worse because now we don't know what is true. And that's probably what they're up to. They want to confuse us so much that even if we think something is true, we don't know whether it is. You just do not even know now. So in the end, I just assume all news is fake.
Is it the same thing in Britain that it is here, that the whole news model has been turned upside down because the local advertisers, for the most part, have really dropped in newspapers because people aren't reading newspapers, so there's a real scramble to figure out where the consumers are. So the news business being apparently self-funded, at least here, is disappearing just because if no one's reading the newspapers, then they can't charge for adverts and whatnot. So it's a vicious circle.
But yeah, there's a massive drop in the number of printed papers sold. I was just reading the other day the Guardian newspaper. It's down to about 170,000 copies a day, which is just nothing. It used to be way over 300,000. And of course, they've got this free website where you can get the news for nothing. And they're in a massive financial difficulty. In the end, though, they just produce all the same stories. They're just all reported from Reuters and AP.
There's really no local reportage or columnists at least where we are now. They've all disappeared because they can't be paid.
Yeah. So news is, I think Hoy has mentioned that, hasn't he? It's just so centralized now. All newspapers just get the same stories. And the ones that survive.
We had a couple of crime reporters that I used to like, but now I think they're just totally on the take. Now they're just about the only reporters left.
I think most of the crime that's reported is fake.
Yes, that's why.
I really do.
Are there to embellish the story. Yeah, I agree. They're here. I used to follow them, and now I think they're just there to embellish the emotional part of the story. That's all they do. They always focus on the emotion of the characters in the story.
It's just like a film, isn't it? It's the cinema. It's the cinema which is just brought through your letterbox, or you pick up a free paper, and it's just
stagecraft.
We've got those.
I've talked about those
free papers in England, London, haven't we, Felix?
The free papers,
Standard and the
We have it too. Metro is here in Canada.
Oh, you've got it there as well. You can get it free. So you pick it up in transit when you're going to work away, and it's free.
And
it becomes apolitical. It's not. It's not. It's just with the illusion, and you just pick it up as just that paper. It doesn't have an identity like your other papers normally. You wouldn't buy the Sun because it's, you know, it's right wing, but you'd buy the Mirror because it's left wing. But with that one, it just kind of blends in. It's like a comic. It even sort of it's becoming blander, generic.
Do you think it's a big intelligence operation?
They're not necessarily planning in military headquarters, but yes, that would be a strategic move of power.
Well, they provide the stories, they fill it up, it needs content, they fill it up.
Yeah, it's just what works at the moment, yeah.
Because it's free, people read it and take it in. I mean, I love to pick up these things because I want to know what they're up to. So I read these newspapers for perhaps a different purpose from the other people on the train.
Yeah, I enjoy those. Actually, they're a good read, aren't they? They're pretty full. It's not all fake, but it's all agenda-driven, isn't it? It's just all...
Yeah.
Most of it is contrived and the whole thing tells the story, yeah. But yeah, I like a newspaper still.
I don't take it at all. I don't look at any of them. I look at them online, that's it. I look at... we have a Toronto Star... We have a Toronto Sun, they're just chock-a-block of fakery. And then we have a paper called the National Post. It's never made a dime ever in 15, 16 years. And it is the national, it's a national promoter of propaganda, mostly Zionist. That's its express purpose.
It's quite handy for like, videos online. Sometimes I have a slightly different camera angle for these. PsyOps for National Post, with the yellow border, I sometimes look at their videos, but if we didn't look at the news, we'd have nothing to talk about, would we? Really, we have to know what other people are reading as well. So,
well, quite, yeah. You know. No, I mean, I think we have to enjoy it. I mean, we have to enjoy it to an extent. You know, it's part of our fascination, certainly.
It's like our cinema, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's
it's our entertainment.
No, it's rather like the George Carlin take on it. I think he sort of said it. Yeah, he was just. It's like being in a front seat. If you're in the US, you're in the front seat, and you sort of watch back this show, this greatest show, fire and you know explosions and things flying everywhere. He said it's the greatest show on earth, sitting back and.
Yeah, but we were at home here and then we were reading that the people of Drill spent the bank holiday drilling into a safe deposit in Covent Garden, Hatton Garden, and, you know, stolen £8 trillion worth of diamonds. But we can laugh at it because we know it's not true.
Yeah. It becomes like a cartoony world. Yes, and without so much fear in it and so much, so much death.
and we don't have to pay it.
You feel the same way then about Egypt there? Should we transition to the plane crash du jour?
Yes, it's gone out of the news now, though, hasn't it? They're probably the script writers are probably just reassessing how it's been received and deciding how to proceed.
You've got to wonder.
I only follow it through the people that do videos on it. I don't even look at the official story. What about you?
Yeah, I look at the official story.
Yeah, I like
you
to.
I don't.
I like to read the pen portraits of the victims. You know who they were and what their ages were.
Well, the thing.
Do you
is,
really? I don't even look at that.
Oh yeah, they're. I want to see how disposable the people are. You know where they come from and how easily. They can.
Do you drill into their Facebook profiles and whatnot?
No, I mean their Facebook profiles are all put out there before the accident. You know that's part of the script.
Right.
They've got to. Put out their Facebook profiles with a nice photo for the media. That's standard. So you don't need to go to their Facebook. It's all over the national media anyway.
Yes, anytime they put a picture, it's always credited to Facebook.
Yeah, Facebook and Twitter are like the new way of spreading fake stories. And I've said it before, but you know, if 9/11 were done now, it would be completely different. There'd be a lot more social media involved and you know, tweets and they probably couldn't do it actually the way they did. I wonder if they could.
Well, I think they're busy building Facebook profiles and Twitter profiles for thousands of simulated people for the future. I think that's what they would do daily.
I don't know. I mean, we probably disagree. I do believe a lot of they use real people for some of these events. Obviously, not the massive ones, but like the Tunisian beach thing. But I'm fascinated how they recruit them, how they tap them up, and how these people, once they're tapped up, sort of go along with their lives as if nothing's going to happen. Then the next minute they're gone. I don't know how it all works.
Well, it does. It's that tests the belief, isn't it? And it's the very idea of Vic Sims, which was the one thing that the Clues Forum sort of exposed for me, really. Opened my mind, really. I hadn't heard it anywhere else, and I found that idea.
That's the one thing that's avoided by everyone that talks about 9/11.
It beggars belief, doesn't it? It's like, how does that actually work? Can you really do that? But I suppose they must be able to. We know they must be able to now. I listed it from
Let's Troll Forums, the 11 ways to make a victim. 11 different ways.
Simulated victim. Yes. There's different types. Yeah.
Yeah. Different levels of deception. Some are more in-depth than others.
Yeah, I've read that myself. Dude to Read wrote that, didn't he?
If you get someone that's been in the police for years or something, some connection, they're known, they've got a character profile, they're trustworthy, they take the money, they do the deal, and you never hear from them again. And they'd be fools to come out of retirement.
What's the guy's name on Let's Troll Forum?
Dude to Read, Larry, yeah. He wrote that, summary, I think, of all the different categories of victims. It's a good post.
Is that Larry McWilliams, the guy that did the audio with Phil?
Yeah.
Yeah, he sounded like a great guy. He just disappeared, didn't he?
Yeah, I have a look at it, but there's not a lot going on there, really.
No, I subscribe to the feed. I don't know if the feed is the RSS feed. I don't know if it's reliable. But I'm not sure if I'm getting all the latest stuff.
I think the feed is cyclical, it just goes round and round. But the actual posts on there, not a lot happens. A guy came out on 9/11 and suddenly there's all this flurry of activity and then he dies away again and not a lot happens. Although, I tell you what though, the Simon Shack bashing thread suddenly lit up yesterday and today.
I didn't really. Why is that?
I don't know, just somebody posted something. And
what did it say?
I don't know. It was not interesting. But if you look at Let's Roll on the 9/11, that's the thing that will come up as current.
I haven't looked.
Yeah, the Simon and the racing drive and all that nonsense.
Oh, that's a long running one, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a long running, but it suddenly flared up yesterday. That's what I'm.
Well, Simon said it's the biggest thread on that site.
I don't know if it's the biggest. It's,
yeah, no, I think it is.
Certainly a long one, 60 pages.
Well, I remember when we saw that Jules Biasi crash it that we found out to be fake.
Oh, yes.
I mean, that's another weird one. What's happened to it? What was he doing? Yeah, but there was an SC, it looked like, on a sign behind it. And I started thinking, racing cars, September clues. Man, I can't get carried away. I thought that's not a clue. Because there was an SC. It's probably something they have at all racing tracks, and I'm going mad looking at it. But yeah, no, I don't. I think that never sort of... I kind of believed the official story of Simon's story. Did you, Felix, generally?
His brother was a racing driver, and he was sponsored, and... Yeah. I'm relaxed about that, So what?
Yeah, me too, kind of thing. So yeah, that's what I mean. I'm relaxed.
Well, he's even going, and more recent news is his brothers are fighting with him over something to do with his mother or the family homestead, I believe. I think he put that out there.
Yeah,
so I don't think he doesn't get on with his brothers, like many people. Are you aware of that?
Yeah, I read that on Clues Forum. Yeah.
Yeah, I heard him say that before. Yeah, it's a shame. He doesn't have his parents around anymore. I know his father died, but his mother not there.
No, I think his mother's still there.
Yeah. Well, hopefully it can all be moderated. It's like a good forum.
Yeah.
Family can be messy.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, yeah, there we go. The old, well, I don't know. Was,
Have we finished with this plane?
What kind of research? Go ahead, Nessa, go.
Hello, go on. You.
What research have you done on Egypt?
I was just looking at the, a couple of the victims.
Jeez, there's a man with a strong stream.
Flushing something away there.
Just doing some washing here.
That was the big flush, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. He'd had about six beers while he was talking. Six beers in half an hour. That's what
happened. Do you know what that... No, do you know what that is? I had to put in a vacuum-assisted toilet because you know how Agenda 21, they want you to use low-flush toilets.
Oh. I thought you were using a squatter out, Tim. No, you're not squatting.
I am, but it still has to go somewhere.
They want us to breathe low oxygen air.
No, but it's the low flush toilet.
Yeah, I know. Nothing,
it doesn't go anywhere.
It still lingers around, so you've still got a turd floating around half the time. Oh, this is really environmentally friendly.
You should compost it.
Yeah.
I
just squat. Why don't you just squat on the, over the sink? Might as well. It's disgusting.
Yeah, that has to go somewhere. Come on,
Well, don't eat. Eating causes it, doesn't it?
Low flush toilets. I mean, some of the things. The thing about there is some technology which is functional and does work. I think that's how the big machine rolls on, doesn't it? With some things catching on and oh, that works now. And, that becomes fashionable. But other things are just like, nah.
It all works by gravity, doesn't it?
Low flush toilet.
That's
ridiculous.
The old toilets were perfectly fine.
Well, that's the thing. It's an excuse to rebuild the stone, the porcelain. Yeah. It keeps the things turning, perhaps, you know.
It's
plumbers in practice and masons in practice or whatever, you know, stone toilet bowl makers.
I once stayed in the youth hostel in Ely and they had some amazing ranges of old flush toilets, you know, with a tank up in up on high and... pipes leading down to the pooper.
Yeah, well, sanitation. I mean, it's Tim was talking about that in interesting ideas about vaccinations and things. But I mean, the time when sanitation got better and things were, as I was saying the other day, there had definitely been improvements in standard of living in the West. You know, and is it?
I can't hear. You cut out, Tim. I think you flushed it away.
That plane left in Paris, you know, Paris, of course, what are we thinking? We're thinking three ISIS attacks in the last quarter of an hour or whatever it was. 11:09 from Paris. That was quirky, wasn't it?
That's sorry, right, I went
lost
it?
My signal for a minute.
Mm. It was a night flight, wasn't it? That was quite handy.
Night flight from Paris.
Yeah.
The Paris connection. It's all sort of tied in together. When the Bataclan attack happened, it was kind of like, it sort of spread to Brussels, you know, then someone ran away to sort of Brussels. And that had happened the previous, and the January ones of the previous.
Oh, the hijacking. Or that ridiculous hijacking.
Yeah, and it went across to Brussels, didn't it?
Posing for selfies with the pilot.
Yeah, it's kind of like a story with a narrative. And then the narrative that then went to Brussels again, didn't it? We actually had the Brussels attacks. And then we got another reference back here to MH370, which was quite well, with 804 days later. But then it's from Paris, you know, and it's ISIS again. Yeah, the narrative sort of vaguely bumbles along.
If it is
terrorism, you know, it's if they conclude that it is, and they seem to very early with this latest one, then it just seems obvious, doesn't it, Felix?
Yeah.
You think, well, how the hell could they know? You know, if we're just parading it out again. You know? And that Tim Osman? Who was that guy?
Oh, yeah, guy from Wales.
Yeah.
The Welsh guy. Whose brother put up such a...
A weak performance.
Yeah. He wasn't bothered, was he? He wasn't bothered.
You see, I laugh. You see, this is entertaining to me because I'm glad the guy isn't dead.
Yeah, I know.
So how can anyone be cross with me?
They should all be pleased that they're not grieving. They
yeah,
have to grieve.
Exactly. Be... I am pleased. I'm fucking pleased. He's a liar.
Yeah. I mean, the guy did exist. This gold digger or whatever he was. He, you know, there's a lot of stuff about him. The brother did exist. You know, you can see.
He was a gold. You're right. He was a gold digger. So yeah, I suppose they could have his story alongside Jerry Hall and Rupert Maxwell. Robert Maxwell. No, not Robert Maxwell. Rupert Murdoch.
Rupert Murdoch.
You can understand why perhaps mixing the two a bit. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he had Australian citizenship, didn't he? This
Rupert
gold
Murdoch.
Digger.
I mean, Jerry, he's with Jerry, isn't he? But no, sorry, he was a gold digger, was he?
The gold digger, yeah.
Yeah,
gold,
and who is it
mine.
Now? Who is it? This is what I don't like, you see, because you see, you get Jungle Surfer going, listen, it's fucking Osman. Well, we know who Osman is. It's Tim Osman. It's Osama bin Laden. And, you know, so, yeah, that's bollocks. His name is familiar to us. But, yeah, I mean, his brother seems to put a very weak performance. And he's the sole... Did he have some Australian connection as well?
Yeah, he'd been working in Australia. And
get it all mixed in. Get everyone
The guy who didn't die, he had Australian citizenship. And he was living in Jersey. Yeah, he was crazy.
But
But he had another brother and another sister. They kept well out of it. They probably don't want to go near the ITV studio. He did his interview. Did he do one for the BBC? He certainly did one for ITV. This Welsh guy, the Welsh brother, Alistair, wasn't it? Alistair, yeah.
Right. Yes. Tim's doing
Tim's
his washing and tiny out. So yeah, I mean, it was. That's all. That's about as far as I got. Looking at him a bit, and then looking at a bit of Jungle Surfer that Tim put up or something. But do you see what I mean? Jungle Surfer does that.
He goes over the top all the time.
And he looks for those little things, a little bit like that guy who seems, lift the veil, seems more obviously like it. You know, but Jungle will go, oh, look at the numbers, look at the colours, look at the numbers.
Yeah.
Look, he's in red there, he's got red shirt on. He's go, look at the V. Look, and you know, it drive you crazy looking at stuff through like that. There are, but it ridicules it, but there being anything there, you know, in some of these things where I think there is something there in sometimes, you know, in some colours, in some way things are presented.
Yeah, I think they just hang their suspicion onto the numbers. I'm not interested in numbers or colours.
When
you know there's something funny going on.
Yes, anyway, we can conclude that we think it's an operation.
It's a cheap operation, very cheap.
Yeah, and it's gone out of the news a bit now as well, probably, isn't it? Yeah, it's not a big one.
Don't you feel a bit isolated in Britain? We haven't had anything really good for ages, have we? There's got to be something very good in the future. There's got to be, you know.
Well, we haven't had... I mean, what the Rigby thing, Lee Rigby... was.
Yeah.
That was quite a big splash, wasn't it? Sort of sold as one of the...
They only had to reassign one person there, though, didn't they? That was... it was very well done, you know, the actual... scouting out the location. I think the Brits are very good at location, finding a location to set these.
I'm sort of fascinated by the presentation of that one with the DLR, drummer Lee Rigby, down the DLR line in the east, to sort of bottom right of the London transport map. And it's the East End is on TV every night, and it's imprinting Englishness in sort of the essence of what Englishness is within that psyop. And you go down to Woolwich Arsenal, down there on the line, on the DLR line, and you know, you've got a football reference again, and that comes up, and you've got West Ham, and it goes through, and it's just, you know, it's the football, it's the popular culture, it's EastEnders, it's, you know, it's, yeah, that was very much a British op.
It was clever,
British
though.
Very London op. Red, white, and blue,
well,
that was
chosen.
A Union Jack effort, sorry?
It's well chosen, the site, you know, it's easily sealed off, not many people living around there. There's one block of flats and a shop. The shop was obviously in on it, and, you know, the shop won't, you know, keep quiet. And, I thought it was well done. They filmed real time.
It was ludicrous.
It's ludicrous, but...
It shows you can get away with ludicrous things. That bloke stood there with what looked like paint on his hands. He was caught... He was there red-handed. It was... So they made it so obvious. And it looked stupid. an old lady walked past with her shopping as he stood there with a machete and blood dripping from his hands.
It was one of my favourites.
Being recorded by someone casually on their phone. Yeah, it was. I mean, that was ludicrous. But yeah. People will buy it, won't they? So, I mean, if they're going to buy that, then, you know. In fact, they need it beat around their heads, it seems, you know.
Then you had the whole downstream, you know, the court and the imprisonment and, you know, the appeals. It's the whole industry is generated just by one act, isn't it? One little film, and then, but it carries on like Perry Mason does in the courtroom, and then they go away to
Bellavaraggio. Yeah. And someone will do a little sketch. There they are.
In the front door of the prison, out the back door, and boom, gone.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of the time there's actors doing these things and going in and running it, you know, so if credibility's there, isn't it? I mean, not always. You can put, I mean, what was Rigby? Did he exist even? I don't think he did. I'm not sure he did. He might have been invented. It struck me that he's... I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know whether he existed.
I don't know exactly, you know, how...
just know the whole story about him being a recruitment officer at the Tower of London. You just know it's a load of nonsense. And he's just wandering around at 2:30 in the afternoon. You know, I don't know.
I mean, you know, that one, he was wearing a Help for Heroes t-shirt, which is the British military charity, if anyone didn't know that. I'm sure they...
I know, you go in any pub and you see the end of the collection on the bar, don't you? Help for Heroes. And I think, oh dear.
Well, you know, it's keep the army going.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You've got to keep them all in business, haven't you? It's just a way of sort of mopping people up who would have probably been running the empire years ago, keep the army going.
But it's an old way of doing it, isn't it, really? But also, they've got the biggest guns, which would help with the power game, I suppose. Ultimately, you'd have a strong gang if you've got an army behind you.
Yeah, it's just a game, isn't it? And,
people
just play along with it, and they get their pension out at the end of it, all the army officers.
Yeah, I mean, I was brought up, my mum and dad were from Windsor, and we used to go to the castle and watch. I'd see the guards and, you know, go down there and watch and look at them, and I thought, my granddad made me a model of a Windsor castle. I played with soldiers. I was going, yeah, I mean, God, I fantasized. I wanted to be a soldier, you know, when I was a boy. It was just so in me, all those war films, those Second World War films, and I just soaked them all up, and the propaganda and was huge.
Yeah, there was quite a bit around Cambridge, wasn't there? Military, army, and air force bases.
Well, we had Duxford, and if you go into Cambridge, yeah, we'll have to meet up in Cambridge or something. We said that before, with Grantchester Meadows or whatever. You obviously know it a bit because you've been to Ely, but we'll have to do that sometime, Felix. But if you're up for it. But yeah, we could meet in a pub where the old aircraft guys used to go. Where was it? In the centre of town in Cambridge, just off the marketplace. But there's a pub there, and they
Drummer Lee Rigby Street. That's where the bus station was, wasn't it? Drummer
Street. Drummer Street. Yeah, that's good. That's a good point, actually. Yeah, Drummer. And they changed it later to Fusilier Lee Rigby. I think a couple of people, you know, it was picked up that it was DLR, and people started saying, it seems a bit obvious, you know. But do you know what I mean? And now they started calling him Fusilier Lee Rigby. At the time, when it first happened, they were all over.
Did you know it's the anniversary yesterday, Tom?
Yesterday?
May the 22nd, 2013.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, it would be then, wouldn't it? Yes. It was right at the end of the football season, so that was, and it was a football flavoured op, yes. So, yes, it was quite, and it was supposed to sort of be a bit run for a few years, yeah. That one, very British op, best of British, you know what I mean?
What did you think about that attack on the West Ham, the Manchester United team coach? Didn't you think that looked a little bit on the stage side?
Well, when I heard that their coach had been attacked a sort of week previously or something, it happened a couple of times, I did wonder if there was a conspiracy of some sort, I must say.
Yeah, it's really weird.
I mean, obviously, they're in the bus, you know, giving their selfies and everything, and it was going on outside, so they could make a fun sort of story about it, but it wasn't that serious, but it did look a bit, they milked it a bit, didn't they?
Yeah.
And that happened, as I say, it did happen previous week. So I don't know if there's a culture of kind of hooliganism, sort of faux hooliganism perhaps being started.
Or just a story.
As a control mechanism, though. Also, he's got into room 9.
He went to room 9. Get him back here. I'll move him back.
Oh, so funny. Felix, what are you doing? Just walking randomly into the other room.
Suddenly I found myself in room 9.
Is the conversation that dull? You don't believe.
I went into exile.
Very good. Yes. Which quirkily could be called. Yes, so it's the anniversary of Lee Rigby yesterday, yes. Like the last big, here comes. Yeah, old Rolo laughed at you and he's put a message in the chat. Funny Felix in room 9.
You mean there are people listening on the live stream on Fakeologist 3?
I know, he's some fucking alcoholic from Australia. Yeah, Rolo, love you. Where are you, darling? Why aren't you in the room?
Come into room 9. Come into room 9.
Yeah, Zyle, you did a post from Bubba Jugga, and I lifted that and put it in the main.
Oh, he's an interesting character. He fingered Naomi Wolf some time ago, and Simon put it up, and then there was a claim on the copyright, and it got taken down. Simon put it up on the Palouse forum some time ago. Yeah, Bubba Jugga's interesting. He's got a nice take on things. He's in Kansas or somewhere really hot in America. Does lots of funny little experiments with pyramids and water and things.
Like, I just asked, why aren't there more people doing some posts in general on September Clues and whatnot? It's just amazing. After all these years, there's just so few.
Yeah.
Yeah, I seem to remember a time when I was reading September Clues on a daily basis, looking for just, you know, any post. I loved it. And it was certainly at times it was quite busy. There was always sort of, the busy times were fun times. But it goes through.
But now we have all these new guys coming on. They're on 9/11, just in a circuitous type of way.
Yeah, it's all these new people I don't recognise, and you lose your familiar old faces. But, yeah.
No, I meant on YouTube.
Oh, excuse me.
The 9/11 guys coming on, talking about 9/11, just these flatties, flatheads, just bring it up.
It's obviously, you know, a push from the alternative, that this night, the flat thing, and then these agents are now, yeah. They're bringing up 9/11 and getting it wrong every time. You're never going to get the truth in the mainstream alternative, if you like. That's what it feels like, isn't it?
Right.
And there's not really a lot of new information or new research coming out, is there, with 9/11? There's just nowhere to go, really.
It's done.
What's loose ends? It's all done, and there's no resolution, is there? And
They won't talk about Vixen.
The narrative just wins.
Will they? Not on 9/11. They won't talk about the fakeness of 9/11, really, will they? They won't talk about it all being simulated, probably, you know. The extent
there are no new angles, though, are there? We can't.
Oh, we can't. No,
we can't. You know, where can you go? You know,
No, there's nothing new. No, I agree. There's nothing
new. I just looked at new psyops just to see new techniques and new recruiting methods.
I'm not absolutely satisfied. I know exactly how 9/11 happened. I do not completely buy all of is what is said on September Clues, but the kind of gist of it, I think. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, I agree with you, Felix. It's kind of, you know, what more is there to look at? But I haven't worked it all out. You know, but it's impossible to do so, I think.
It's just mind-boggling compared with, you know, just having about 50 deaths, you know, with a few underground trains or, you know, a helicopter or a plane. That's just so easy, isn't it, to walk in the park? But, you know, to, you know, take those buildings down and, you know, deal with you know, 3,960 names. It's just mind blowing.
I think it's, I mean,
mind blowing.
Yeah, but doable.
Doable, but there's just nothing been near it ever since, and probably never will be.
Well, yeah.
It was massive.
Massive. You know, now it's just, you know, 30, 40, 50 death events.
But it's why I got here. It's why I got here to talking to you now is through 9/11. That was really the one that drew me
That's
in.
That's why we're all here, really.
Yeah. Yeah, because it was so big, I suppose. And also because it was so obviously wrong.
Yes.
From the start, and the internet was telling you it was wrong. Well, I mean, it was by the numbers, you know, the controlled opposition, so to speak, and the early days of streamed video on the internet. It was just, there was Alex Jones telling you 9/11 and showing you stuff, and you realized something was wrong. And he was telling the truth. It had to be. Something wasn't right with it at all. And then on we went. And it took, yeah, it's...
But, you know, all we know is that anything in the future will be really a real surprise. You know, we can't predict anything, can we? I think they're well ahead of the curve, aren't they? The people planning these things, scoping the locations, recruiting. They'll come up with something just so unbelievable. We'll never have thought of it ourselves, you know. Like a film, somebody making a film, you know, these top film directors, you know, you think, how on earth did they come up with those... So, you know, those scenarios, those locations, those scripts, and but they're the same people writing them and filming them, aren't they? The same process.
Yes. Looking at the big picture, it seems highly complex, but when you realise, you
probably
know...
Probably the same people. Probably the same people doing them.
The same people, yeah. Yeah, I think...
Clever, organised people.
It's probably what intelligence does. Intelligence is just producing... scripts and locations and providing actors and, you know, recruiting photographers, recruiting TV station editors.
You know, branch of the military.
Yeah.
To an extent.
Yeah. Entertainment industry.
Yeah. Yeah,
everybody gets paid. Some people get new identities. It's just so obvious. They play a role and then they're gone.
Just like you. No! You come back. No, yes, it was, I was aware that there was a gap and I thought, well, there's no, it doesn't matter on here. And then suddenly I thought, well, Rolo's listening, so I'd try and say something funny.
But, hey, Rolo might That's find that funny. Gold miner, you know, that Welsh gold miner from Jersey. He might be in Australia by now with his French wife.
In an Olympic year, he had a child, he had two children, one called Olympique. And one called Victoire. I just couldn't help but notice it. Sorry.
Yeah.
But it's an Olympic year. If someone with his name turns up and wins an event for in the French, you know, so I don't, yeah. You want to drop me in? Says Rolo.
There was a Canadian victim on that, not victim, a name on that plane, wasn't there? But I've forgotten who it was.
Well, normally they have a sprinkling of innocent international ones, so it can get a mention. So you can get a mention in Australia, you get a mention in a link to England, and you've got a Canadian. I didn't look at the nationalities.
There is a Canadian.
Did you see, what was the rundown? Was it, there's France to...
It was 40 Egyptians, wasn't it?
Egypt, yes.
To get rid of that lot.
It was 66 in all, wasn't it? That was it. I mean, there's a good PSYOP number for you, 66. And here's a thought for you. In 1966, the other day, my daughter said to me, "Oh, Harry Styles has got his hair cut." And I said, "Oh yeah, because he's the long-haired one out of that One Direction. It's a very famous international group now, big in the States. They've broken the States as well in England." And she, and my daughter is, you know, you can it just she's a young little girl. She's 11. So he's a pop star of his day. He's the long-haired one, and she said he'd got his hair cut. And I thought, that just so reminds me of John Lennon in 1966, 50 years ago, getting his hair cut and going into doing the war film, How I Won the War. Harry Styles is going into a war film. He's going to do a film about Dunkirk. It's propaganda, you know. Brilliant, isn't it? It's the same formula. You know, 50 years later, after John Lennon cut his hair and did How I Won the War. Harry Styles.
Is he going to get in a bag?
Well, he's going to sell it, isn't he, for charity and everything. Yeah, like Lennon did, I think. I think Lennon sold some of his hair.
Didn't Lennon smoke pubic hair in a pipe?
Yeah, we've all done that. I'm sure. I'm sure Lennon did all sorts of things when he was fucked up. But yeah, not that I know of. Not that I've heard.
I've got a few victims here. Gert Supre from Belgium. Guess how old he is? 56.
We've got a Belgian in there, you see. Belgium. Supre, you see, 56. They've had some trouble, haven't they? They've had some trouble with the terrorists as well. Yeah, get a Belgian in there. Yeah, go on.
We've got a 56. A Canadian, Marwa Handy. Marwa Handy.
That's a very Canadian name.
Very Canadian. It's a very cosmopolitan country.
How old is he?
She's a woman, doesn't say. She looks about 40, actually.
Well, it doesn't even say how old she is.
But she's probably Egyptian, really.
Okay.
It's got Pierre Hesloin from France, 75. His son, Quentin Hesloui, 41. There's a 14. And we have Karim Souellam from France. Karim Souellam, no age given. They're the scattering of non-Egyptians.
Okay. I think it might sound be ignorant of me to say that it's quite easy to fake 40 Egyptians, but then it were easier to get away with it than it may be in England or France or whatever. I don't know. But would that be your impression?
I'd say so. They could easily migrate to the West. For their participation in this.
A country, perhaps.
Yeah.
With a certain... Yeah, I don't know.
Everybody off to Canada.
And not all... Well, I mean, I think you'd have to... they won't all be real people, probably. You know, actors. They wouldn't all be real actors. They'd probably... Some of them would be simulated, don't you think? Made up completely. I don't know. You know, how much real validity does the... Does the op need in Egypt? Perhaps it does. You know, perhaps they do soak all this stuff up and they need it to be as foolproof and tight as possible. People really scrutinise this stuff.
Yeah, because we don't really research Egyptian end, do we, the Arabic
end? I've got no idea how it ticks there, Felix. No, really.
Oh, do you remember that the Belgian event? There was only about one funeral out of all those people. And it just sort of got forgotten, didn't it? All those people who... allegedly died in the airport, and there were no funerals for them. It was all forgotten.
It's a bit weak, yeah.
It was pathetic, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't that a pathetic thing, that Belgian airport? Pathetic. Do you know they do it a lot better in Britain?
Oh.
A lot tighter, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's come to this, hasn't it? We're actually PSYOP, you know.
Yeah, we're PSYOP snobs, aren't we?
Oh, God.
Which is, you know, watertight.
Well, I mean, it's the one in Brussels just a bit weak. It wasn't very spectacular. Here he comes.
Oh, Rollo. Have you seen that gold mine there, Rollo?
Fellas.
Hey, Rollo.
Hello, Rollo.
I didn't want to get in the row, but I was just enjoying the conversation so much.
No music, no feedback today.
Yeah, was it going all right, was it? Because sometimes it's not so easy to listen.
It's going great. There's a little bit of hiss, I think, that's coming through, Felix, but there's nothing to worry about.
It's okay.
It's all good.
I really did enjoy, Tommy, the chat with Ab a few weeks back, and you were talking about sex life and how many women you've slept with. You're a lucky man.
Do you want me to go into room 9 now?
Right, I didn't say I'd slept with a lot of, you know, well, perhaps, you know, thousands of women. I know people who slept with a lot of women, but, yeah, I mean, I have slept with some beautiful women. I'm lucky. I feel like I'm lucky. I can say that. Yeah, but, yeah, I wouldn't like to think you're spreading the word that I've sort of said I've, shagged millions of men.
You're right, man. It was a good conversation, and I really enjoyed it. And you're a man of the world, so you've you've experienced a lot of things. Oh. When you were saying that you'd like to meet up in the UK in a pub, I'd love to go and have a drink with you and Starflex.
Wouldn't that be great? For sure. Oh, wouldn't that be fun?
That'd be great.
We'd have to all go to Australia and meet you down at your treehouse. We'll go for
No, we can come over there. We could go over there. I love English pubs.
Oh, well, that would be an absolute guarantee. If you're coming to England, let us know and we'll meet in Cambridge. Fantastic. I'm up for that.
Oh, for sure. We went to a lovely pub called the Rat and Parrot in Earl's Court. Oh, it was a great day. We had a massive, this is 1999. It was a fantastic time. It's before 9/11, you see. You didn't get hassled in airports. It was just a joy.
Mobile phones were hardly used.
That was excellent, that post that you did, that Brugga Jugger, Felix, that you posted.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was excellent. I really enjoyed it. Yeah, it was just good.
Yeah, so little of that going on now. There's an interesting story in our paper. We've, in London, the National Natural History Museum, it sparked outrage among tourists and Londoners because it removed this huge dinosaur from the museum in Kensington. And there was such an outroar that they're going to put a fake one back. Put a fake one, could you believe?
Yeah,
the fake dinosaur.
I mean,
that's a joke, isn't it?
It's a cover story, it feels like.
Of course, they're going to put a replica back where the whole thing was fake.
They're all fake anyway.
Yeah, I know.
To begin with, yeah, that was brilliant, yeah.
that was a great move, wasn't it? Put a fake one back so it means the original, the old one was original.
It's a bit desperate.
It's going to be called Son of Dippy, made of bronze, cast in bronze from the same moulds. Cast in bronze.
Oh, whatever. Like mythical creatures. You know, you wonder, in times gone past, were these mythical creatures, did we all go around thinking they were real? You know, we all believed in unicorns at one point, did we?
I thought dinosaurs were real when I watched Jurassic Park and all of that, but I hadn't woken up by then. I was still fast asleep.
I'll tell you what I thought. I thought I was a bit of a lad, you know, and I had the sense of bullshit. And I just thought, oh, this is Hollywood. I remember just thinking, oh, this is Hollywood. This is just bullshit, you know, mainstream Hollywood. It must be bullshit. But you know what? I didn't have a clue, you know. I didn't have a clue that dinosaurs actually themselves were. So that's why I went through life being a bit confused, you know, thinking, it's mainstream Hollywood.
Wasn't something posted the other day on Fakeologist about even the pyramids might be as old as what they are or something like that?
Yes, they've been talking about that for a while. I've heard that spoken about by many people about how they may have been more recently rebuilt I hear that a lot.
They'll talk about anything on
there. Who has been to Egypt and actually seen them? I haven't. Have you, Felix?
No. I know some people who are going on a plane to Egypt and didn't make it, apparently, but that's about all I know.
Yeah, that Canadian.
That's all I know.
Yeah?
The Canadian, Marwa.
Marwa, yeah. Abdal Marwa, Mubaka. No, I mean, the thing is, I mean, making light, the only reason I feel we can make light is because really don't think they did die. And if they are real people, you know, respect.
Yeah, we've got to grieve.
Which is the constant thing, isn't it? That once people believe the mainstream television that people died, it's then disrespectful when we know that the mainstream just lies through their teeth.
That's how they have us, isn't it? They
It's the law. The power it's said they it have. On telly. It must
I might
be
play
official.
That. I might play that.
It's
Brugga
disrespectful.
Jugger,
whatever. Just... Sorry, Rolls.
No, you're right, mate. Look, I might play that Brugga Jugger. What he says at the end, just because he says it succinctly, and Simon even agreed that at the beginning, you know, to all the victims, Simon hadn't done any sort of research at that point that nobody died on 9/11. He's since done that after the movie, so that's Simon was very respectful with what Brugga Jugger did, and he will respect back. It's just short and to the point. Why are we getting hassled at airports when terrorism is totally fake?
It's a job creation exercise again, isn't it?
Think so.
It's just pointless, isn't it? It's a whole industry created out of nothing. Security industry.
It's just fucking control, isn't it?
Exactly. Make you jump through hoops. What Ab said the other night, where it used to be a pleasurable experience, but now it's like you miss your flights, you have to line up for friggin' hours, and you have to get bullied. That's what they are, bullies, I think. I don't like bullies.
Well, you know, are they going to make the air flight unfashionable or something? They're trying to make it too desirable.
Well, this is the PSYOP to stop people flying. take your holidays in your back garden.
Yeah, get all these planes crashing. Yeah, it's going to come finally. Yeah, we'll get some, Western ones, and then we're not going planes at all.
If you can get on
around just electric cars.
Yeah.
Well, I tried to talk to a mainstream guy, John Lords, down here, and he shut me down. And I tried to talk on mainstream radio, and he just went, nah, fuck off.
Yeah. Well, there you go. That's the very bottom rung of it in Rolls. You actually tried. A fair trooper going on there, going in and trying. And you just got cut off straight away.
He shut me down in 30 seconds. He said, nah. And then he's told me a couple of times off air, to go fuck myself. Yeah, he's
wow. He's nasty.
He's just, look. I like radio. I like it can be used for good. But mainstream radio is just so bloody controlled, and they don't want to rock any sort of boat whatsoever because they're out of a job, I guess.
Yeah, the DJs, if they can have in an hour, they can play two songs of their own choice, and everything else has to be it's on the list, you know.
Oh yeah, we had a lovely thing here, Tommy. One of these. It's an awesome band. I can't think of it at the moment. I'll look it up. But he went on and gave the guy curry. He said, "Look, you don't play any of our songs. You play Kelly Clarkson and whatever they are the winners of those stupid competitions and they don't play anything alternative. Even our alternative Triple J down here." Doesn't play anything that's real alternative, so you have to come somewhere like this. I'll play anything.
Yeah, I mean, I've got it.
Like, can I you think... play some Eagles of Death Metal? That'd be a good one. Eagles.
Didn't they done that?
Did they get played in Australia?
Popular. Mass popularity. Sell it on Facebook. Sell a PSYOP through a rock and roll band.
Have you listened to the Eagles of Death Metal, Felix? Isn't it just horrible music?
It is, yeah. It doesn't interest me at all, no.
No, neither.
I'd rather listen to Nutmeg.
Stop it.
Bad Rollo.
Did you guys see the thread on Cruise Forum where they were revisiting the Oklahoma City bombing victims? Big Sims.
Oh yeah, that was interesting. That's one of the more interesting things I've seen there.
Yeah,
yeah, where they're starting to do research. I'm surprised that hadn't all been done before into all the characters. It was really a 9/11 trial, wasn't it? Low level tryout of how to, create victims, and they just blew up this building, didn't they? Very similar, isn't it? All these tributes and the photographs. It's so reminiscent, isn't it, of the 9/11 and all subsequent PSYOPs, the grieving pages, the photographs, the tributes.
Fantastic. Yeah, I think it was the child creche thing that really got people, all the children.
Daycare.
Oh, yeah, that was a corker, wasn't it? Yeah. Get the daycare in there.
We're talking ancient history now, April 19th, 1995.
Was that guy Terry Yeaki? Remember him?
Teriyaki?
I think his name was Jack. Terry Yeaki was a policeman there, and he apparently saw something that wasn't right about it. Alex Jones, I remember Alex Jones going
right, and he was hunted down and killed.
There was that story. Ran off it as well. You sometimes wonder, Nah, I don't know what was going on there exactly, but I just remember that from the past. Yeah,
that was the scary part about it. So if anyone really wanted to look into it, they wouldn't, because this is what could happen to you. Nailed it. We had a couple around 9/11. Barry Jenkins, didn't he just mysteriously die?
Barry Jennings, yes.
Or Barry Jennings, yeah.
We Are Change got an interview with him, didn't they? And they got in, it was all like, you know, behind the scenes, you know. As we believed it back in those days. Well, I did for a while.
They were interviewing
Barry Jennings.
Yeah.
And, poor Barry Jennings then died, didn't he? You know, it's like, it seems dodgy, you know.
Definitely.
Well, that's part of the PSYOP, isn't it? That's part of the PSYOP, too. Make you too afraid to even talk about it. I don't want to rock the boat.
Yeah, it's part of the movie, the kind of scary scene in the movie that keeps you hiding behind the sofa and cowering and, under control.
True.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we're doing now. We're resisting. That doesn't frighten me anymore. I mean,
we dare talk about it. Yeah, we dare talk about it. Exactly. Nice having you on tonight, Rollo. Welcome.
Thank you, Ab.
Yeah.
Always good. And we got Zyle today. You got it finally going on. So good to have Zyle.
Yeah, it's great to have a chat with you fellas, all of you.
Yeah, I mean, we're in a luxurious position, aren't we? We can talk about these things and have opinions which are non-mainstream. You know, we couldn't do it if we were, you know, DJs or anything in the public eye or any...
Yes,
great.
You know, you just can't, can you? The system traps you if you're in it. You can't start deviating from the script, can you?
No, that's right. You couldn't say these things, could you? It would be inappropriate, and you'd know it would be. And people aren't necessarily complicit to an evil plan at all. They're just going with the consensus opinion of the society, aren't they? That has been made and given to us. With the narrative firmly under control.
Definitely.
Yeah, the word maid sounds, doesn't it? Because that sounds like, what is it, when you're a made man?
Good fellas.
Yeah, that's it. But, these people, these Freemasons or whoever they are that are responsible for the disgustingness, which was 9/11, and the way that they're still trying to... cover their bases and stop people like us talking honestly and openly. And honestly, I mean, seriously, honestly, I listen to, how I see the world, the one-eyed guy this morning, and he's still banging on about people dying and 9/11
and I unsubscribed.
I just went, I don't want to fucking listen to that shit.
Yeah, I agree with you. I did listen to him for quite a while, just looking for clues as to whether he was just being honest about things, and I'm not sure. I'm not sure he is.
Maybe he's a dude, but it sounds like he's he sounds like an intelligent guy. I mean, hasn't he watched September Clues? Hasn't he? That Chugga Bugger or whatever his name is, like, he's only got 61 subs, but, or not 61 views, I mean, and, it's the best thing I've seen lately.
Yeah, and I posted on that Zyle for the link, and I thought, why aren't there more people like him talking about it? It's hard to believe.
Yeah, I mean, that is a big one, and it's also a difficult one. It's a leap that people won't make, and we said it earlier, but it's the victims again, isn't it? It's the trouble. Another guy who won't go there. You know, David Weiss, you know, he comes on with this trendy flat earth movement, but then slips in 9/11 Judy Wood, and then obviously he knew someone on 9/11. Right?
Dave. Hey, Felix, just jiggle your mic there a little bit or whatever it is. Jiggle it. There's a little bit of a hiss. Is that affecting the audio there, Ab?
Yeah, I think yeah, it is. Yeah, for sure. Jiggle it.
Sorry,
Felix. Lyle.
I'd rather hear him than not.
He's on push to talk.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
He probably just collapsed. He probably just collapsed on his button.
No, I always get that when I put microphone in. If I don't have the microphone, you get a echo. But if I put the microphone in, then I get this sort of slight whistling. I don't know.
It's fine.
Yep. All I can really suggest, Zyle, is go get yourself a USB headset and solve all your problems in one shot.
Yeah, I don't really do enough talking there to Yeah, I'll see.
They're not that much, are they, over there?
Do I want to? I want to look like Lister Vale.
God! He's got some sort of mental illness. He's got ADHD, and he's got all these, you know.
The postal service did a good thing on him, and I wrote a comment in it.
He deleted it.
Yeah.
What was your comment? I did see it.
It's gone. Don't worry about it.
What did you say again? I saw your comment.
Well, look, someone wrote, I want to fuck her so bad. Like, what?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Spear.
Patricia Spear.
You got to be. Steer. You got to be kidding. yuck. Someone wrote something funny like, it'd be like kissing the girl in The Shining, you know, in the bathtub.
Oh, okay. I didn't see that movie.
The thing is, she's got good lips for webcam. This
good
is a very 21st
lips?
Century thing. You know, you know what I mean? She, the way she looks on a small screen there with her big lips, somehow it still works in a kind of, she puts across something womanly that comes across quite well on screen.
It looks pretty good for a 70-year-old.
Well, she's not that fucking young, mate.
Lift the Veil. So what's your take on Lift the Veil, Rollo?
I don't know much about him, mate, but I'm sure Felix and we do.
Really?
He was a little bit uncertain on 9/11, wasn't he? When he the interview with Patricia Steer, he went a bit flaky when they started talking about that, and wasn't too sure about planes, and you know, that's
didn't
quite ring true, did it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think we should necessarily stain everyone who goes on Patricia's show, but
talking about drugs and schizophrenia and whatnot, isn't that making everyone look like a kooky loon?
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah, and the way he sticks in the numbers, he sort of slipped in 33. Yes, we know about that, don't we? You know, it's a bit like, you know, Russian Vince does a bit of that. I think, you know, he's just sort of, yeah.
He did a good one the other day, Tommy, about Port Arthur, comparing Port Arthur with Sandy Hook.
Yes, I did see.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah, there was something in there that was.
Is that still talked about down under at all?
Not really. It's still like I almost got punched out one night by a copper when I wanted to question it. How is a guy with an IQ of 70 going to go in and shoot dead 22 people in like 2 minutes, perfect headshots, and has never had a gun experience? Idiotic.
It's a taboo subject, isn't it? You know, especially when there are children, it's well ring-fenced.
Yeah, yeah. This is the protection of it. It protects itself.
Yeah, we've got our own, haven't we? Our own shooting incidents in the UK. They're ring-fenced. You can't go near them.
Dunblane, wasn't it? Dunblane.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It's got a big back defence around it. You can't go near it. A lot of recent events at Hillsborough.
I mean, that one. Because the anniversary was the final judgment came out, didn't it, Felix? With Hillsborough. And I suddenly start doubting myself, you know. You're still pretty sure that was an op?
Do you want to go to room 9?
Oh, yeah, I think we'd better go.
I think we better do this in room 9.
I need some counselling. No, it's just that I just, you know, no, it's amazing, really. It's amazing, some of this stuff, you know. And, that's my belief. And I'm not always right about everything, you know, at all. You know, I understand I can, things can seem intuitive. And I just want to watch myself on the things we've said. We've made some big claims, or perhaps I've made a big claims about Hillsborough. But, yeah, I mean, I think it certainly seems like an op to me. And I think, again, that's incredible. Very difficult to get people to believe that one. And you see, I've just proved that. The guy who questioned it, you know, at length with you, I'm still doubting myself.
Interesting. Well, it's easy to doubt yourself when there's no one to talk to about it, really. Well, wouldn't a good way is to go through the victims on that? Why don't you review them and see if their guest books are all empty or full up, for instance?
That was a long time ago, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, that's
done in a time when it was a lot easier to do this. You know, you read the newspaper and turned on the TV and you believed everything that was there, you know.
Yeah.
They were well ahead of us. Now, so we're catching up.
Well, you can't access it with the internet like we can now.
How else would... Yeah, now you can easily look into these things. The phony parts, anyway. The official records are still surprisingly difficult to get your hands on through the internet, even.
Well, you see, the thing is, it's when you start, you know, writing something about these things, you don't want to make too many claims before you really know what's going on. An example is this guy from Hillsborough with who they say was in a coma, didn't they, Felix? You came up with him the other day.
Oh, yeah.
And he was in a wheelchair, and he's got like this kind of face and this kind of arms, sort of spasticated arm. He apparently couldn't move, had no mobility at all for all these years, and there he is in his wheelchair, you know, at that wedding or something, in a suit. There's one picture of him, and it looks awkward, and it looks like the guy is pretending, as we used to say in England in the 70s, pretending to be a spastic, you know. But now, I'm calling him out. If I'm going to call him out to say, you know, is he doing that, I suddenly start doubting myself because it's such a sensitive issue, and I don't know. I might be wrong. Maybe he did. I don't know. Is this bloke actually in a?
I don't know.
Was he in coma for some other reason?
Have you called Stephen Hawking out?
Well, Stephen Hawking, I was talking about him the other day. That I've met him. I've seen him. It was years ago. I've seen him, and I know, and I've met his daughter as well. I know his daughter.
I know, we got to investigate that one.
Yeah, but we talked about it the other day.
I know, it's a weird one.
But there he goes past in his wheelchair, though, and he looked just like that, and he went out in the public like that. This was after A Brief History of Time, and he was very famous then. When he had his affair, or he left his wife and went with his nurse.
Well, that's an easy one if you go for the nurse right away.
Nurse. Excellent. You see, he knows what he's doing. He's a clever guy. You see, he's looking after himself. I mean, he's...
But the odd thing about him is they're just saying that anyone that has that disease does not last that long. There's just too many.
Well, I heard Geronism talking about it. One of the flat earth generation.
Yeah. But don't you agree?
Bob's
when you have that disease, how long
Bob's
do you last?
Is Geron as well? Or is Geron just one an innocent one who Bob's controlling?
I think Patricia Steer should get told Stephen Hawking on her program. Talk about the universe.
Talk about the flat earth.
Patricia Steer. Stephen Hawking.
Have you guys tried to read Hawking's book?
No thanks.
No,
it's almost an impossible read. It's just like there's only like a couple of pages I can even understand. Obligook.
Did Miles Mathis write about Hawking? Was there a Hawking paper?
A Hawking paper.
Paper.
I don't know.
You got all that pseudo intellectual gravitas that doesn't bring to that. Yeah,
I know. It looks like the Journal of Applied Chemistry or something,
doesn't
it?
Didn't Mathis write a paper?
Yeah, they look like they've been published by the Academic Press or something, don't they?
Oh, God. Didn't Mathis have a paper on Hawking being a rubber doll?
Yeah, I do go with you on the Mathis, Tom, you know. I was just a little bit... I was taken, you know, when he did that John Lennon thing, and I just heard Nitin Stracey, or whatever he was called.
Mark
Stracey.
And I just thought he did a really good Liverpool accent for an American, but it's a little bit too scousy. It's not really posh enough for Lennon.
I think he is a scouser, isn't he?
Who? This Stracey?
Stacer.
I thought he'd lived in America all his life, hadn't he? But there was no trace of him ever. He could be a scouser.
There's no trace of him in America because he was... I don't know. Oh, that's... Yeah, he's got in room 9.
There he is.
Yeah, I thought you'd just voluntarily take yourself off into room 9 to have a think about it, Felix.
It's just when I press to speak, I press myself into room 9.
We've all done that in our time.
perhaps Strace's a real scouser.
The height one was a simple one for me on that one. I found one of him at a gig. Nessie's with a room full of 5 foot, midgets, very small guys. He looked very tall amongst them anyway, in a clip I found. He just didn't seem like him. Tim, you didn't think he did either, did you?
No, the movie was unwatchable.
But I think it just shows you how compelling these things can be. And I think I would conform, maybe someone gets compelled by one minute, and I don't. But another time I'll be going, oh, that is him, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? Perhaps, I get that with celebrities. Facial similarities. And I think that's why it's been used as disinformation, because it's kind of a compelling sort of you can make people look a fool with that one sort of thing.
I still read these Miles Mathis, but now you're reading them as if they're fake, and you're looking to see if they could possibly ring true.
Probably an easier way of going about it now.
I read the news. You read a newspaper, and now you assume it's all fake, and you try and see, could that possibly be real? Generally, you think, no, it's not. And the same with these Mathis papers, isn't it?
Well, he talks in terms that we can identify with, doesn't he? In a sort of vernacular that sort of makes it compelling reading. I think Psyopticon said, oh, I find him quite entertaining, actually, myself. And I thought, well, yes. Be Pulp Fiction. I'm happy. It's for me, it's like Miles Mathis Pulp Fiction a bit. But and it's interesting a bit to look at what he's saying, to try and find fault in it, really, to me, sometimes, yeah.
Apparently, did you read his latest thing on J.K. Rowling? I didn't look at it yet, but apparently someone was not too pleased with that.
Right, I didn't look at that yet. But again, compelling subject matter. Do you know what I mean? Often we're led by the good misdirection, takes us in with a juicy subject. J.K. Rowling.
Well, what's your thought? Is J.K. Rowling just another one of these Mozart, or just one of these fronts, right?
There's something cold about her and I really haven't looked into it, but yeah, how massively successful that, and it was the magic
It's wizardry, it's a cult, worshipping of a cult, all these things.
Yes.
Yeah.
We see by the 21st century or the 20th, late, very late 20th century, quite possible something could be styled like that, with ghostwriting heavily involved or whatever, and a bit of a ghost of an author. But I do not know. She just hasn't got that feel of a real genius author.
Well, maybe she came up with the first one, but maybe there was a whole intelligence team that helped finish it off and keep it going every couple of years, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't see any Miles Mathis article. I haven't seen it. I haven't even looked at it, but I have wondered before. It just crossed my mind.
You wondered even before Miles started talking? I didn't read it yet, so I don't even know the contents of what he had to say.
I thought about J.K. Rowling before. Definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Have you read all the books, Tommy? Have you read them?
No, I haven't watched this film.
No. So she's this unmarried mother that just comes up with this fantastical stuff. So maybe she's just home alone a lot and just read a whole bunch of stuff.
Or maybe she's up front, because same way Shakespeare and Mozart.
Yeah.
Right? We've said that before. You get somebody in Einstein. All these people are put in front of us, you see?
Well, sort of, yeah. I don't know. I don't know sure about Mozart. Yeah, the Mozart was always an interesting. That was an interesting idea, very much so. And
Did
you crack us out a bit of Mozart, Tommy?
No, I can't. I don't even know any.
Is that in 440 or 428 Mozart? Are those the two frequencies we're supposed to? know about?
Yeah, the 440 is the not happy one. The happy one is the other one that you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, so I got the numbers right.
One that makes you feel good.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Is that in? No, it wasn't, was it?
No, that came through clear as.
Oh, Rolo loves his music. I've got some good songs for you next time you're DJing.
I'm a DJ. I've always wanted to be a DJ, and
I can do it here. Yeah, you do a good job of it, Rolo.
I love radio, and you have a love for it too, Ab. So that's why. Also, the subject matter we talk about is just a bonus.
Yeah, I mean, I like listening to this sort of audio and going to sleep listening to it. But it relaxes me in a way because it feels like company and just voices talking and it feels like a bit of company. And if there's a subject matter a little bit like this where some people are hopefully talking about some interesting things, I love it.
What does Zyle have to say? We have to let Zyle back in, Zyle.
What about J.K. Rowling? Or what?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. What's your take on J.K.? Did you read the Miles thing on him? Her? Zyle, press the button.
Sorry. Her family background checks out. I mean, whether she was sitting in a cafe in St. John's Wood or whatever, just, you know, writing this stuff, I've no idea.
When you've had family background, what does it look like, Felix?
The actual biography checks out, you know.
Has she got any connections there?
No, I couldn't see any.
Well, do you think she was, do you think she was co-opted at any time to get some different messages out to the public?
I don't know. We don't know. It's those sort of things I don't think we can find out.
There has been no book series like her since.
No. I mean, it's like, you know, could you say, well, you know, it's like Shakespeare was written by an intelligence committee. Well, the plays of Shakespeare.
We don't know.
Star Wars? Lucas, was he,
All going
Tolkien,
on.
Tolkien, maybe. Sorry.
In these intelligence Tolkien offices. Intelligence is, it's probably just writing scripts. They're all up there writing plays and film scripts in the MI6 building. They're not, you know, nothing to do with security. They're just writing fiction.
They're moving society.
Genius works of art, you know, and they make, you know, I think there's something to appreciate in good cinema. So still, you know.
Miles Mathers saying there's anything malicious. I mean, I've watched all the films, and I don't see anything too malicious in there.
Well, I think that the religious people don't like it because it really promotes the occult. And it goes against their beliefs. And that's a big group. You're talking about a big group. You're insulting, you see? For me, I'm a-religious, maybe like you, so it doesn't affect me, but... They're speaking to a large group of believers, and the whole point of PSYOPs is to destroy belief systems and recreate new ones.
Right.
This is what Jay and Jay's analysis talk about. If you have a whole group that believes in
buildings and building new ones up on the same spot.
Right.
Yeah, well, where's it taking us, though? Where do you think they were going to take us with J.K. Rowling? What's the goal,
it takes,
you know?
It takes a whole group of young people, because it captured young and old, maybe a lot of young, into a whole belief system.
But what
of that? Of magical, I don't know, magical powers and things that are surreal, that kind of thing.
One of the best reads there is about destroying
religion is Tom Baker's autobiography. If you read his, he was a young monk. He got out of it and then... he just went non-theist. He's just because he couldn't even have a crap or break wind without feeling guilty because he thought that, you know, God was watching the whole time.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a funny guy, but I like
Who's
his
Tom
work.
Baker? I never
heard
of him. He
played Doctor Who in the 70s. He's still alive.
Oh, okay.
83 years old, yep.
Yeah, I never was a Doctor Who fan. I know there's a lot of people that were, though. They're usually the geeks that like Doctor Who.
Was that an intelligence operation?
Now, that's perhaps more an obvious candidate for an intelligence operation. Yeah.
Doctor Who, yeah.
It came out in about 63 when the launch of the...
Yeah, the day after Kennedy was fake killed.
Yeah, and about the time the Beatles were hitting the... Yeah.
taking over London, yeah.
They're big into planets and space and all of that sort of stuff, which obviously for pushing
your agendas, isn't it? It's a good vehicle for pushing your agendas whilst being, science fiction-y. And then these ideas
I think the original thing was to teach the children some history. So if he could go back in his TARDIS in history and teach them some history lessons. But those TV shows apparently didn't rate at all when they brought the Daleks in.
Scary
monsters.
Yeah.
Now that I've got my my main group of fakeologists on, guys, what do you think of Kay Ham and her posting of Lennon? And I had to snip that because
you were a bit more like with her, weren't you? Don't cut and paste on my side, thank you very much.
Well, what do you think? Is that a reasonable thing? Let's go around the round table here. The Knights of the Round Table.
I don't know. I tried to listen to some of his videos, and I just found them very uninteresting, and never subscribed or got interested in it.
Don't you have to pay for it? Isn't he?
No. There's something on YouTube, isn't there?
I've watched his YouTubes and things and videos.
And I've interviewed him.
Because Kay was in favour of him, and Kay's my friend, you know.
That's why I looked at him, because Kay recommended it. I just found it very uninteresting.
Yes,
do you find her latest stuff promoting him? I find it very show-like, quite frankly. I'll be honest. If I'm being honest, it's very show-like. A shill is...
people come here, all we ask is everyone be as honest as they... We might be ignorant of some things. You can't know everything, but you don't have to say be honest. I mean, we already know you are.
Okay. Is she being... I find it shill-like behavior to cut and paste an entire page that's soliciting for money. That's all.
I mean, it's almost like it was literally shilling for him.
So you thought the same thing, Tom?
I didn't even see the cutting the whole poster before you taken it away. But I don't feel very confrontational. I didn't see it. And she said what
true.
I yeah. But
the thing about him too,
it's too
this fear based mind control thing. He skirts the edges. He doesn't get into where we go with 9/11. He doesn't skirts. He keeps going on about bloody quickly too.
Fear-based mind control.
He fixed his cadence up with his so we could hear it. He was way too quick back in the day, and I went, I'm not listening to any more of that. I
found him a bit saccharine, a bit too mawkish.
Too slick?
Yeah, I don't know. Just something about a bit creepy. But maybe he's just he's a nice guy doing his best. He's got his own little self-help thing going there, and he just pottering through life, and he just knows where he's at, do you know what I mean? And Kay really likes him, and she's genuine, and she's not shilling, really. She just really thinks he's worth it, I really don't know.
I think we like our own timbre of presenter, don't we? I like people like Jungle Surfer and Russian Vids, who sort of go at it hard, and whether they get it wrong or not, but I think their heart's in it. So this Lennon Armour is a different sort of tone, isn't it? And
you're definitely a woman, Felix.
Kay Ham has been pushing in the comments, hasn't she? Pushing and in the
a little pushy for me.
Little pushes here and there, She's been recommending him all along, hasn't she? For quite a while. Well, fair enough,
I mean,
fair
I
enough,
you
know, I'm relaxed about
back
that, Tim. I know it's your blog, you see, it's your site, and it affects you more than me, I'm just like a neutral.
The
$50 a month is what I was,
Well, you don't have to. Nobody can force you to pay it.
No.
It's not like
true,
taxation, is it? We have to pay for ourselves.
I said to her in the past that mind control is over if we expose the victim aspect of it, because then it's game over. But why doesn't he talk about that? That's all.
Yeah, kapow. One more time we come back to that only Clues Forum we got to through Clues, I think, pretty much.
That's how the mind control is. It's through fake death, isn't it? Fake death.
Yes.
This is what attracts me, why I'm so interested in this. Fake death and grieving. You know, yeah. And that's the control they have over us. Create a fake death and you've got to grieve.
Right.
And then, you know.
That is the mind control.
Yeah.
But he won't talk about that bit.
If you believe in the death in any way, shape or form, so it doesn't matter what kind of operation it was, it works as an op.
Right.
It works.
Because it shuts you down. You can't talk about it. You can't question. Yeah, it's a devious, despicable act. And whoever's responsible, if we find out, we should expose them. But I don't think in my lifetime we'll ever find out who's
running the show.
The 9/11 psyop. Yeah. I'd like to know
who's directing it. It's a global operation, isn't it? It's global.
Well, you'd think other countries would have said, or other countries' governments would have said, "Well, look at 9/11. It's just bullshit." Of course. No, they're all part of the same crowd.
Yeah, they all have their allocated psyop, and they all carry one out every few years. And you know, it's just mind-boggling. I keep saying that.
But again, if we don't resist, we'll get what we deserve. If we don't speak up, the populace will get what we deserve, and that's what we're doing here. That's what I like you guys so much.
Yeah, but it is the crux of the matter. The whole. The victims. That to me is it. Mind control is over if there's no real victims.
And
if you don't bring that up, then there's a problem. That research comes fast and furious on certain websites.
But we just don't want to call everything a hoax. Not everything's fake.
Yeah, but we don't know, do we?
That's
the abuse we get. Oh, you're the everything is fake brigade. But we don't know, do we? We don't know what's real now. Certainly when you turn on the radio news or the TV news, we don't know what is true, do we?
Well, you have to separate, if you come to fakeologists, you have to separate the wheat from the chaff. You have to anyway look at the internet. But yeah, it's actually, it's a puzzle to, you know, you never know. You've got a Patricia Steer video, you know, on the front page or whatever. You know, we're looking around, everything's fake all over the place, you know. It's all fake. So, yeah, we say that to each other, but you've got to read between the lines, haven't you?
The smell test, you know. That's all we can go on, the smell test.
And not everything, and I agree, not everything is.
No.
Not everything is fake, I think, Felix. I think Rollo makes a good point there because I see with it, you know, when I always claim, you know, good talent and things with that. There are things to really appreciate in the world. And if you think everything's fake, then you're not going to catch the good moments. Do you know what I mean?
We can witness things ourselves, what they believe are
good things. Do you know what I mean? Honestly. You know, and there's merit in that human nature, I suppose.
Claim me to a real plane crash.
Oh, yeah, what is a real plane crash? We don't know, do we?
Well, yeah, show me one. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, we don't know. We don't know.
When's the last one?
Well, they do happen. So we know that you know, a plane crash is surely must happen. Well, but which one was real?
If cars crash, and it makes sense that planes might crash too. Trains probably crash because humans are involved.
Yeah, but there are a lot of fake car crashes and fake train crashes for drills, aren't there?
That's true.
And they're the ones that get on the news and on the TV, the fake ones. So,
yeah,
where does it take us? And why are they doing it? I don't know. It's just one big mind there.
Well, there's that other thing as well. When real accidents do happen, and then it's exploited, the news is then hyped, perhaps, you know? It's used, and then the story is just hyped, and they've run with it, and they make it a really big story. And then we're all saying, "Oh, look at it!" We can't just assume that it's a fake because it's being hyped.
That's right.
That real accidents do happen.
When was the last real accident?
Now, that's a good question.
When was the last real accident?
When was the last major air crash that was a real accident? I mean, yeah.
Yes. What is it? Let's go. Does anyone have a clue? And who would we go to verify it?
Yeah, well, we've got that, there's that program, Air Crash Investigations, isn't there?
So anything on that must be fake.
How many of them are real? I mean, there must be some, but with, you know, how many?
It's like Crime Watch. I reckon all, you know, there's a TV series, Crime Watch. I reckon most of the crimes on there were, you know, just sort of set up film jobs.
Yeah.
We don't know, do we? We don't know
certainly an element of that, for absolute sure. There'd be presented, and a lot of it's presented reality there, probably, yes. But other things, it could be a functional, slightly functional, you know, I don't know.
Okay.
But yeah, don't have nightmares. They used to sign off with don't have nightmares, which was, you might as well have said do have nightmares.
Fear-based mind control.
Yeah. That's what that was. Yeah, really.
Let's research a real plane crash, try and find one.
Well, it keeps us in line, doesn't it? I mean, to be honest, you know, if you left people to themselves, it could be a bit of a rabble, you know.
Oh, yeah.
They might start gardening or something. Fishing.
They'd be all right. Someone
say gardening.
Gardening, yeah.
What I'm doing now.
Excellent.
Putting a lot of fertilizer on, I guess.
Just trying to revive the garden.
And it's quite a pleasant evening over there this evening, Tim,
It is. My roses
have come out, so my garden's looking pretty good at the moment.
What time of day is it for you, Rolls?
It's 9:43 a.m.
Oh, cool.
Ah.
Morning.
It's a lonely world sometimes, being a fakeologist, and that's why I appreciate you guys, what you do. So,
we appreciate you. Talk.
Yeah, we have no one to talk to, do we really?
We could go mad,
didn't we? You could go mad easily, yes. Well, many people think we are mad, really. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
We're the sanest of the bunch.
You don't find being schizophrenic or going to your alter ego helps in the 9/11 investigation, like this lift the veil guy? I couldn't believe when I heard all that. I was just starting to warm up to the guy, and then, oh my goodness, they just flipped the switch. So early on, he just got here.
I mean, he didn't last long in my fucking radar either.
My goodness. They flipped the switch on him so early, it was ridiculous.
Oh, what a fucking idiot.
I've unsubscribed to Hot Potatoes. They can go fuck themselves.
Well,
what about Lift the Veil? Did you watch him, Nathan?
Yep.
What did you think of that? Flips. What did you think of his whole schizophrenia and medication and all that?
Like, all right, yeah, I might have a few too many spliffs or drinks occasionally, but you're normally good and don't let me on. But I thought it was pathetic.
Yeah,
but you're not selling meds on your. You're not selling the
no,
the
big you're
not pharma.
Saying you've got some ADHD. You're
I don't take Xanax or any of that horrible stuff. That stuff is
toxic.
Leave that stuff well alone. Smoke some good weed and chill out.
Yeah.
What did you make of the cat behind Lift the Veil?
Is there anything?
He's
got a cat stand. Yeah.
Do you remember? It was like. The camera was just set up so it caught the cat, you know, it was all set up nicely, wasn't it? So, to attract the animal lover, you know.
The only thing I like about the whole thing, his whole thing, is he has a good microphone. I can hear him.
Oh, not like me.
No, that's not a shot
You've
at you.
Been
that's
like
just...
that.
No, I know,
got
I know.
A lovely microphone.
I know.
Ooh, it's not all about that, Tim. It's not all about his microphone.
No, it's about just hearing. Rolla will agree with that, probably.
Yeah, well, look, Tim's big on production values. Production values.
No,
you must be too, Tommy. If you run an open mic, whatever.
No,
you want it all to
go
nice and clear.
Audio is wonderful audio. Wonderful audio. I can stand there. I can be entertained with a man with a wonderful timbre. Yes.
I just want to be able
as long
to hear.
As it's got clarity.
Bell timbre.
Yeah, well, that's good. I should change it to that.
Bell timbre, the French.
Del Tambra.
I spent 2 minutes in France. That's how I know French language.
A Très bien. Je parle un peu français. Français
no,
aussi.
The Lift the Veil knows French, doesn't
Dan Blabou.
Oh, yeah, that was funny. The way he talks about knowing French.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
I know French, funny. And I have lived over there for 3 years. I know French. Yeah. All right, fine. He translated it, but there was translation underneath it.
I know. There was subtitles on the screen. hello.
Oh, God, it's so stupid.
Yeah.
And he's on there, Patricia's dear show, making the fucking alternative look like idiots, you know.
We have him on? Should we have him on the broadcast?
Get him on.
Yeah. Get him on. Absolutely rip the piss
get
out.
Get him on.
Yeah, let's get him on.
Let's get him on.
See what drugs he's on. Rolls, we can share some drugs with him. I'm sure we've got better ones than he's got. What a fucking...
Yeah, I've got some pretty good stuff here, mate.
He needs counselling. I mean, what's a drug? I mean, food is my primary drug.
Yeah, it's a good one. Food is medicine.
It does that as well. It performs the function of... And,
When it comes to different languages, one of my favourite podcasts that you did... quite a while back with Simon Shack, and he was speaking like five different languages, and we just go, wow,
a clever cunt, isn't he? He's very clever, multilingual, but I mean it shows the intelligence to be able to speak English with the clarity that he does, which is effectively he's spoken it a long time, but he does well, and I think that's always helped him present his stuff.
Well, he writes better than he speaks, but he writes brilliantly.
Yes, he does. He writes
better than me.
He writes brilliantly.
Joy. It's a joy. And, we can't say it enough I might play the Rugger Jugger at the end.
Oh, sorry,
the analysis of September Clues. Sorry.
No. I just didn't want to get too much on the fucking blowing smoke up his ass, you know.
No, he's all right. He can cope with that.
Yeah.
He
can be rude.
He's been attacked so many times, though. You can see he's short with. You don't want to fuck with the guy. I wouldn't because.
Yeah, but he's a bit stubborn about some stuff. I don't know.
Is Simon?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, aren't we all? But yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Yeah.
The attacks that he's suffered over the 2007, 2008, 1.0, 1.1 of September Clues that he's.
Yeah.
Put up with. Yeah, is you can see why you could get cranky.
Yeah.
With your shill fetzes or whatever, and good on him for all around. He hasn't chucked in the towel or anything, so.
No.
Anyway, that's enough smoke blowing up. Butthole?
Yeah, we know your heart. Your heart's in the right place.
Yeah, absolutely.
So everyone is dropping Lift the Veil, even though he just came on, or we seem to have some...
Well, that monkey, what's his face, Jungle Surfer. Because Rolo says Felix likes him. And,
well, I don't mind him. He's cantankerous.
You're transgender. That transgender stuff, I just...
He seems to... He's got a funny shtick. He's got that kind of... Yeah, he seems like a kind of... No. There's just too many little red herrings in there, and then false things like, oh, like he's wearing red. And in fact, by watching that Lift the Veil guy, I actually, it made me distrust Jungle Server even more. Just a couple of things he said, you know, the 33, and he said the numbers, and I think, oh, God, this is just badly done formula sort of disinfo.
Go
ahead.
I was just going to say, isn't Chris Kendall going to be on right now? Are we going up against Ghostbusters? He's got to be on soon.
Oh, cool.
Maybe.
Maybe we'll all go on his show.
I'm going to go to room 9. You go to the show, I'll go in room 9.
I'll
go in room 9 and play with myself.
I'll log in on your button now and see if it's going.
Let's hear more from Zyle. No, his talk show starts at 9:30 Eastern. What time is it now? Can't be 9:30.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm horrible with time zones. I really am.
SimonDate.com.
That'll be a couple of hours. 9:30 is not for 2 hours, is it? Hmm.
Just coming up to midnight here. Yeah.
I wonder if Negan Tropic will be on this week.
Oh, fuck, yeah, not him again. He was going on about weed the other day, like a lunatic. Again, trying to make, you know.
Makes you a better driver, Tommy.
Oh, that one. Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, you can, I mean, it's just ludicrous. He's like a child, just every, you know, his first 6 months into his first joint, you know. It's
what did you think?
Marvelous, you know.
What's your take on him?
Well, Negan Tropic. You need
it's
a bit
fun watching Chris gets mad. You can hear Chris.
I think he's trolling. He's trolling Chris, and Chris is too soft and letting him be there. Is that right?
Yeah, maybe.
He's bullshitting, gone in there, and he's like, you know, he's a bit. That's what it comes across as. I mean, having said that, you know, it's just a little. It's a bit not. Maybe not. Maybe it's just effectively trolling because he's just a bit naive. But he seemed too clever with those things he put together before. You know, he bunged together some audios and stuff and got some kind.
Yeah, they were good. They were too long for me. I didn't get through them all. But yeah.
Isn't there a Jewish thing going on with him? It doesn't.
Never ends.
There?
Yeah.
Oh, you see, I don't really. No. I haven't really listened to him properly. No, and I listened to him talk about marijuana the other day. He's over the top. It was over the top. I mean, I love a bit of weed like anyone else, but like to many people. But I think you've got to have a balanced view when you talk about something like that on the radio, when we're talking about these serious subjects and things. And you know what I mean? It was just the way he was just eulogizing and going on. It was as if he was trying to, you know, trying to make a real point that he was smoking weed till it came out of his ears.
he's obviously well-read, though. I mean, he's got facts and figures at his fingertips.
Yeah,
but
he was talking. Some
I don't know. It just seems he hasn't had the life experience that obviously someone like you, Tom, and Ab and Felix, that you've experienced the stuff as well as read experience.
Maybe.
Excuse
me, because I don't really know these people that well. You know, listen to them.
Yeah.
Much.
I'm more interested in the interaction. I like listening to Chris. Chris is a patient soul, and just to me, radio is a lot about interaction. I like new voices and hearing people talk amongst themselves. I can listen to the odd solo here and there, but overall, it's all about interaction, right?
Sure. The only time I was really disappointed in Chris was, obviously I've said it before, was when Marcus was having a go at Simon that day. I didn't enjoy that radio at all.
Yeah. Well, you have a soft spot for Simon regardless, so I can see why you would say that.
He was just being openly hostile to someone who has done the best piece of work. And it upset me badly, and that's why I was quite rude to Marcus the few times I spoke to him and told him what I thought of him.
No, I'm aware, yeah. You remember that, Zylflex?
I'm getting a bit sleepy. I'm getting a bit sleepy and
feeling is nodding off.
Yeah.
I just wanted to include you in the conversation.
Yeah, go on. Sorry, what did you say?
I was just wondering if you listened to that Hoaxbusters with Simon and Marcus.
I don't have much time to listen to long radio shows.
Okay.
I might re-grab it and put it on my YouTube.
Do a commentary on it. Yeah.
Yeah, I might do that.
I think you should, yeah.
What time is it Felix? What time is it there, mate?
1 a.m.
Oh, good Lord. I see what you mean.
There it is.
Yeah.
Is it 1?
Psyopticon's around. Psyopticon tends to be up at this time of night, doesn't he?
Where is he? I haven't heard him in ages.
He's around, but not been checking.
I want to get all three of you Brits on at the same time, make sure you're different entities.
So Psyoptopickle. You want to get Psyoptopickle in?
So he has a lot of interesting things to say, you know. I think he gets the picture. He just thrashed around a little bit when we were just trying to find where we were with each other, but he sees the picture.
You're okay with Psyoptopickle?
Yeah, I am, yeah, yeah.
Now,
why does he use two names, the Evil Edna and Psyopticon?
And Reichstag Fireman.
He's
a long term, and you go back and look at some of the posts, there's some weird stuff, you know.
He was pushing the envelope
for that. I got a few different names. You know, when you log in and say pick a username, sometimes you just pick a different one. So I can't fault him for that, really.
He's got things. For a really intelligent guy, he's got things. He gets things wrong sometimes for me, too many times.
Okay.
I'm very wary of Psyopticon. I'm sorry, Psyop. Where are you?
That's okay.
He's my friend, really, because also I could talk to him, and I've come and talked to him in the lobby, just man to man, you know.
Yes.
Well, actually, you guys are antagonistic, aren't you?
No, you guys are antagonistic.
He'll get antagonistic with me a little bit.
Okay.
I don't want to rise to it, you know. I don't see necessarily, you know. No point.
Okay, because, yeah, I always notice a tension between you two. Isn't it interesting how
there is a bit there. Yeah, there's history.
He can be a little snooty with you when you come up with something and he doesn't agree with you. Yeah,
well, what about, maybe I've got it a bit wrong, you know, but I'm sort of thinking, you know, yes, I quite like him, you know, in a certain sense, you know what I mean? I don't know. I just think he's a bit of a Miles Mathis in a sense. He can, you know, convincing to an extent, and clarity of prose perhaps disinformation. Sorry, Sire. You can come
is
on.
Is that
talk
your
to me
thought
about
on
it.
Miles? You think Miles is disinfo? High level?
Yeah.
No doubt in your mind? Because of the Lennon thing. The Lennon. Yeah, you and Psyopticon will get on about Lennon. Yeah, that's it.
Well, Psyopticon is. He did a thing on Jimi Hendrix last year, or 2 years ago.
Oh, right, yeah.
The Jimi Hendrix style, which again was it just pushed it too far into the realms of absurd. And he was suggesting that he was this double act that was going around the brother or something. You know, and of course there are these connections, and this brother is going around doing this tour, and you can go and see him and get a photograph. And maybe Psyopticon was just getting carried away. Do you know what I mean?
And
I do really apologise for calling him something that he isn't in that case. You know, he's just an eccentric, like we all are, you know, maybe.
I think so.
And he hasn't got something right. And that's what I'd be wary of being, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong there.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. We all are sort of eccentric. And we all probably are off on one thing. I might be totally off on this whole Flat Earth group. I'm admitting.
Well, no, it's.
I don't think you're on it.
What did we say, Roland?
Just simply that I can't see the moon. How can we see the moon at the same time where you are and where I am on the globe?
Oh, yeah.
On opposite sides.
So you are agreeing. You are a baller skeptic yourself. Is that what you're
absolutely.
Saying?
Absolutely. Absolutely. How is it possible? Just think of a billiard ball and bang, like on opposite sides, how can we see the moon at the same time?
Yeah.
It's just, I can't make it any more simple than that. But I'm not
You don't. You don't think it's an oblate spheroid, as what's his name says?
Oh, God.
Neil deGrasse.
What's his name? That
Neil deGasbag Tyson?
Yeah, Gasbag Tyson. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I mean,
He's a charlatan.
Right.
What is it? I mean, you know, I don't know. But, I mean, can you see the moon simultaneously? I mean, that's very easy.
Yes, we can.
Because we can do it now in this day and age, can't we? Just look out the window on a clear night and you're seeing it, or whatever, a certain time of day. What's the time of day would you do it? And then where's the crossover? Twilight.
Right. I don't know. Yeah.
It was beautiful the other night, Tommy, the full moon the other night. I sat there and watched it for 5 hours. I sat outside on my comfy chair and just watched it go across the sky. It was a beautiful, clear night.
Yeah.
Does it really go like the sun across the sky? I've never had the 5 hours. It only took how long to transit the sky?
Like the 5 hours, it went from, say, many degrees. But, yeah, it went quite a way. And it was bright as. It was so bright. You could see... In the nighttime, like, it was so bright. That's another interesting fact. Some people say it's some sort of light source something.
Yeah, it's its own light source.
Yeah.
That's why I don't mind listening to these guys, because that's why I listen to all these characters. I don't...
I liken it perhaps, likened it before to perhaps the early days of looking at 9/11, when the days when there was all you had on the internet was disinformation.
Right.
None of them got it right. Well, no, there were some people that were trying hard, but they got it wrong. You know, no one got it right. And there was lots of, and the best films were disinfo. Totally. It seemed. And so in retrospect, it appears they were controlled. So it's a bit of...
I agree. And there is some value in listening to controlled. As long as you are aware that a controlled even exists. For instance, I haven't had a chance to post Dallas Goldbug's last radio interview.
I think
he has a lot right. It's just the last part where he just goes completely wrong with regards to this person is this person and this actor is this famous person. But when he's talking about this this certified oath where these people use different names to run for office, and that absolves them in some way from any wrongdoings or any liability. I think that's interesting, and the way he describes just the way things are done in some of the psyops, I think, is interesting as well.
Yeah, well, it's fine for it to be interesting.
I think it's infuriating, though, the comparison.
Well, that is true, but that's where he puts the turd in the punch bowl. Yep. But is everything else he says, is it worth listening to at all, or do we throw the whole thing out? Isn't that how they offer the information? But isn't that how they offer the information? They give some good stuff and some bad stuff. So the good stuff is totally obscured by the bad stuff. Can we just take the good stuff and collate it into our own
Part of being a fakeologist, Ab, being able to filter the turd out of the punch bowl.
Right. That's right. Yep. You agree then?
Yep.
Is it a worthwhile exercise is my point.
Of course. If you post it, I'll listen to it. Yeah. I'll listen to anything.
Yeah. I think that's you do, Tim. You find interesting things which still are from known sources of disinformation. You've been posting with the flat Earth stuff, but you were posting quite a lot of stuff from the people who seem to be agents pushing the. But we didn't mean, as long as we understand that premise, then, we all understand that you don't agree with Dallas Goldbug and you don't condone his research. But you see, Frank keeps going on and on and on, about that. I mean, that's such nonsense,
Yeah. Well, he hasn't been going on and on lately. We do have normal conversations.
Yes. Now it's better. Yeah. Yes. He's stopped, perhaps.
Well, for now. I'm sure it'll flare up here and there.
But that's the thing. You start posting one of his things and he'll be straight. He'll be going, oh, yeah, you see now, you're saying he's good, he's great. And then someone else will go and look at him and there'll be a way off on the celebrity doppelganger thing. Winkler is Ahmadinejad.
I try and put caveats every time. I can't always remember to say, oh, by the way, just don't forget, this is the same guy that believes this, so disregard this, but listen to that.
Alex Jones technique. Where you get compelled by people to Alex Jones, and then he carries on like a tonal peanut, and then you look like a friggin' idiot.
There's something to be said for a man with a good, strong tone, with a good audio. Ab loves that, like a Mark Sargent.
Mark goes around in circles a little too much for me. No, I don't like Mark's radio voice, actually. It's annoying.
Okay.
September
Clues series, it's...
Yeah, well, if people
seductive audio, it seduced you. I mean, if to an extent, perhaps,
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was a pretty smooth delivery, and the way it was broken up into nice bite-sized YouTube chunks that I can process, right? It wasn't a 2.5-hour movie. So that was a wise move.
It was clever. And it was funny.
They had all those props and everything that he made up, and I don't know about Mark Sargent at all.
Oh no, no, that was right from the start. Well, do you remember you posted it, Tim? Didn't you? There was nothing hidden away. You just posted it, said "Wow," and then Hoy instantly said, "Well, hold on, It's not too wow, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't too strong with his reply.
Well, we should also mention that Mark is, I think, if I remember correctly, listening to his last audio, he's going to start a new show that's not about flat Earth. So here we go. Here's the, if you're patient enough to wait these people out, it looks like you're going to get a 9/11 show probably out of the guy or a general psyops.
That'll be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it draws people in.
So if you don't, if you don't know the purpose of these people, you just have to wait, right? Same with the psyops, you just have to wait, be patient, right? We don't always know why the psyops are done, but if you just wait a bit, they reveal.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's like they played the card. It divides the alternative slightly and distracts slightly.
But I think we're all very smart people here, and I think this is what we do. We just let's just hash it out. We don't have to be victimized by these people. We just hash it out, and we talk in a normal way for hours and hours. And I think we're hashing it out. You know, we heard Rolo's opinion.
I think you do a good job, Ab, of even though you've
curating.
Spoken to Mark Sargent or spoken to some dodgy people, it's somehow sort of distance yourself or keep a distance.
Yeah,
you know that discredit by association thing is like.
Yeah, I mean, Mark Sargent.
Somehow
you totally
managed
pleasant.
To do it in a way that, that shit doesn't stick to you.
I'm trying to be an honest curator of information. That's all I am, a curator of information. And it's not easy, but I think maybe Marcus is the one that said it in the past. He said, "Every one of your guests is a shill." You know, so if there, and then someone else said, if there weren't shills to talk to, then there wouldn't be any broadcasts at all.
Nothing in life is easier, but if it was, everyone would be doing it. I mean, it's what you've done. Again, I'm not blowing smoke, but I'm just saying, keeping it separate from YouTube is one of the greatest things you've done, because that way we've all got the freedom here. And look, if I say the wrong thing, you guys will shut me down straight away, or if I'm whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just Mark Sargent has said so many good things. I've listened to a lot of his stuff.
Yeah.
And that I agree with. So if he's doing a new show on 9/11 or whatever it is, it'll be interesting to hear his take on it. And if I don't like it, I won't listen.
Yeah. I'm guessing, because he's not getting anywhere with Flat Earth in the sense that he's just.
Who is
really just
getting anywhere with it?
That's true. That's true.
I think 9/11 is a much more important subject to keep banging on about.
Yeah, that's true. It's the template. It's the template for the 21st century. Dial not off.
He stopped hissing.
Yeah,
who's got the go to sleep music queued up, ready to go? Da 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 da.
Maybe
come on,
Rollo,
cue it up. Yeah, Tommy can play it on the piano.
What we got? I can't play piano. What is it? Lullabies. Go to sleep, my baby. I don't know.
Good.
Do you know the song we're talking about?
No, I don't. I don't think. What are you talking about?
I remember it from Looney Tunes, because whenever they wanted to... cat wanted to get the dog to fall asleep, he'd play the music.
I always like when you say crickets. Yes. When you hear crickets when someone said something and no one knows what to say and
just, no reaction. Yeah. What the hell is that?
Is that
blue lights going off?
Well,
not me.
It wasn't me. I thought it looked like my blue light was going off. Someone's feeding back through me.
Someone's tapped in.
Who did that cricket noise? Was that you, right there?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
The bad impression of a cricket.
I've actually got something from Thailand that will do a frog sound. Hold on. I'll see if I can find it.
Why do we want a frog sound?
Remember when Kay, talking about Kay earlier, when she went to see to Simon's in Italy, and she and then she sent that tape where there was that, she said, and this is Simon's swing, and there it was creaking with the kind of in the Italian evening. And all you could hear was like these crickets in the background and this creaking swing. And it made it sound so mysterious, you know. Ludicrous.
Vaguely remember that, vaguely.
It's nice to have Kay back. I'd like to have a chat with her to get her back on and back again. Don't be put off by the Lennon on a shilling accusations, but come and answer them properly, like a good girl.
Come back, Kay. Come back. Come back.
She hasn't gone away. She's got no
Roland, will you be subscribing for $50 a month?
I've got a choice there. I don't have to. I mean, I don't mind it, in a sense, asking.
Yeah, I'd rather give you $50 a month, Ab.
Thank you. I'll just keep reposting Clues Forum things for my money.
Yeah.
The thing I was looking for was this. I've got this wooden frog, and you click it. I can't find it, but it makes such a good impression of a frog. Love Thailand, and if Eric Debay is up there and having a good time, good luck to him. I don't know why people call him Eric Debay.
I think Dubai. I don't know
either. Are we talking about flat Earth characters? Is he part of it? Is he part of the movement? The push? Must be.
Well, Ab obviously likes him. He tested the dinosaur thing twice.
I do, because all he does is read that book from Samuel Rowbottom, which obviously was a big thing in the day, and the debate basically ended after that guy, it seemed. Just like the vaccination debate ended over 100 years ago.
Don't get me started on vaccines, Ab. That killed my grandfather. My grandfather was coming out to Australia in 1976.
Really?
And he got vaccinated that morning and was dead that evening. And my mother is so convinced that her father was killed by the vaccine. And,
wow.
And I'm so ropeable that I didn't get to see my grandfather.
Interesting.
So that's the sort of thing that these people that push this shit. I mean, love is something that I think those that are handlers or controllers or whatever it is, they don't want that. That gets in the way. So that's why people weren't killed on 9/11, because if there were all those 3,000 people and they presented that bullshit story, be so many infuriated families, you'd think, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah. That's one of the things that never added up. But you're thinking they wanted to kill the spirit of people, in a sense of kill that idea of in a broad sense.
Injustice,
Only love the ruler.
Injustice is Orwellian something that I find...
idea.
Sorry, Tom.
No, sorry.
I don't know, injustice. The very first word, apparently, I said when I was a baby was judge. So maybe I should have been a judge. I would have. I could roll out some decent judges. I reckon. Now, would I know now?
The only better one I can do than that is my friend from South London, who was brought up by his nan for most of his early life, and his first word was arseholes. Because every time you got angry at something, you go, "Oh, arseholes! Oh, arseholes!" Yeah.
Is it funny that people that teach their parrots to say those sort of words?
Yeah, I don't love those talking birds. Yes, yes, it makes me laugh.
Well, I've just had to go a couple of times because my house is full of these wild ones.
I know, love it. They're clever things, birds. You know, they're nice creatures. Yeah. I are you a vegetarian?
Yes.
I'm thinking of, I don't know. I have a problem because I like meat. And I'm terrible with eating. Find it difficult
to
eat.
The only good thing, the only way you can really look, another way you can look at it is, at least here, meat's really expensive now. So you could save money if you at least lightened up on it.
Yeah, I just think I'm getting soft. I'm kind of thinking. Well, I can't kill it.
If I went back to eating meat, I'd probably take up. I'd eat horse and dog, just to annoy people. I'd eat horses and dogs.
Yeah, well, what's the fucking difference?
Yeah, exactly.
You're right. So I'm a bit more like that, really. I eat horse and dog, really. I'm not that bad at eating, but it's just, I do like it. Meat is very often the thing that draws me in. Then I'll eat the rest of it, you know.
Well, I like when you go down to your local. Sorry,
go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, you're eating cat every time you go down to your local Chinese shop.
Oh yeah, I mean, if their spare rib, if those cat, they've got cats that big for their spare ribs that I eat, then they've got giant cats, and the dinosaurs probably did exist.
Don't think I'm judging just because I don't eat. I've chosen not to eat meat for the rest of my life. I'm not. If you guys choose to do it, it's your own choice.
Well,
but
Blue Moon thinks that the veganism is a bit of a psyop in and of itself. What do you think of that?
Well,
the promotion of veganism.
I think the guy is fantastic, and everything, every post he does on your site seems to be short and to the point. And
a clear thinker.
With my life experience, because I've known knockers. You know what a knocker is?
Oh, yeah.
Pushes the bolt into the I've seen the footage of what it's like. Sorry, Tom. Go.
No. Oh, you're talking about a pair of knockers and sticking your bolt in.
Well, couldn't be an undertaker and prepare dead bodies. There's a lot of jobs I wouldn't or couldn't do. I couldn't be a dentist either. Could you be a dentist? I couldn't. Everyone that comes to a dentist has a problem. They're not there to say hi. Look at my nice teeth. They're all in pain and suffering.
Very adaptable, but there's certain jobs we really wouldn't want to do.
Well, it's a very negative job. It's a very negative job. That's
or
the point.
In the hospital, could you wipe someone else's asshole? I couldn't let them, you know, sit on a bedpan and wipe their ass off.
Yeah, well, I've done that job.
Yeah, but if you're helping, you know you're helping them, though, so it's a different, maybe there's a... How did you do it, Tom? Yeah, you're helping.
I agree. At that point, you become a grown-up, an adult, I hope. Do you know what I mean? You've all had children. And, Tim has.
But
you haven't, Rolls, whatever. But yeah.
No, I've got a new dog, though, and I feel like a parent.
You clean up, clean up after your dog.
You're doing it to an adult, but it doesn't matter. You've got to be an adult about it.
Yeah.
You know?
It's easier
and
to change
you
your own
into
child.
It and you can do it. Whatever you have, I wish for people to... You just got to you know.
It's easier to change your own child's diaper than someone else's, though. Let's be honest. I mean,
it's tough.
Yeah.
I mean, I suppose I've done some jobs which people would think are quite tough in that sense.
Yeah. On you. Good on you, mate.
But I tried to sort of do something. I thought, well, you know, with a bit of an edge to it. But
I would like to know if this veganism thing is being promoted in a certain way for a certain reason. That's all. We're all suspicious of the media that's around us. So is there an agenda behind it? And why?
I would only suggest changing to that if you were diagnosed with a severe illness. As a lifestyle, I don't see a problem with it. It hasn't since 2011 was the last time I ate meat.
As Simon says from the television show, if I'm being honest, Rollo, how do you reconcile drinking to excess and destroying your liver and then on the other hand worrying about distant animals?
I did it from a health reason to start with, but then I went, look, I couldn't do the dirty work. It's just that simple.
You were justifying a little bit by the health angle. So I'm wondering how you reconcile that with drinking to excess and destroying your liver.
I choose to do that, Ab.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
don't you see the contradiction there? Can you see the contradiction?
Yeah, but I'm not. I went from the health angle to start with because I was really unwell in 2011.
Okay.
And the medical establishment wanted to do things to me that I didn't want done. I researched, people like Charlotte Gerson.
And Lumped and Bumped,
and,
that's where you brought up
Dr.
That up, right?
John McDougall, and these people that just said, just change your diet radically, and and that was simple. The great big lump that I had on me just went away.
Yeah, okay.
Good boy.
All right, well, that's good. That's really good. That's a good testimonial. Did you, the Gerson therapy also promotes coffee enemas?
Are you sure it wasn't just, Ralph, are you sure it wasn't just a hard one?
No, it was on one of my testicles, actually.
Well, that's all what right. I'm thinking. Yeah, no, it wasn't. Well, sorry, I'm getting a bit stupid and flippant.
No, you're right, Tommy. I mean, it's late. There's always time for levity. If we don't laugh at some of these things, yeah, we are.
Right.
Yeah,
what,
exactly. We don't want to do that.
What about the coffee enemas? That's part of the Gerson therapy I read. Do you describe that?
I never did the coffee enemas, but I got some cannabis oil and a few talking. Other things. But the juicing is the main thing, which I
do. You still
juice?
Do you juice at all?
Yeah, occasionally, but I did it for 6 months, pretty much. Juiced vegetables and I came good. It was murder the first month. My body went through some sort of because I treated my body like shit. And it came good, and I like a drink, and I won't back down from that. And sometimes I drink to excess, and if I come on here, there's been a couple of times that I've done stuff, and you haven't posted it, and I thank you for it.
That's a rarely do I not post something, so.
I know, it's fine, but I think I've come on here, and I've been absolutely off my trolley, and there was that one time me and Tommy were talking about dare I mention his name, Jeff C. I mean, you didn't post that, and I'm glad you didn't.
Yeah. Well, I don't care about Jeff C. I just never cared about him like others. So you can talk about him.
He's just a low-grade fearmonger. Sorry, go.
He's just not interesting to me, but I don't have anything against you talking about him.
He's into doing video games and stuff like that now. I keep an eye on him just to see what he's up to.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people follow PewDiePie. Isn't he a big video gamer? That's one of the biggest.
Oh, God.
What do you think of John LeBron's work lately? He's right. Really working hard. John LeBron, working hard. Trying to sort everything out.
What did he do the other day? He posted something under. Sorry, Tom, go.
No, it's fine. He came very, very quickly with that. He put in the dates between MH370. And MS340.
Egypt 804.
840, yeah.
Or 804.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he was right on the ball there.
Well, there you go. So, yeah. And then he's been sort of doing that thing of moderating the sort of some of the flat earth community.
Flat talk, yeah.
And he's slightly, if you go back and listen to some of the Ball Earth Skeptic, and the guy, he's not backtracking, but he's slightly sort of, changing the way he's phrasing things and around to sort of
he's very anal when it comes to arguments and or discussions or whatever it is.
Yes,
he's very anal about that. But the thing he posted the other day, which I thought was interesting, was some boxer talking about flat Earth, where he wasn't talking about flat Earth at all. He was talking about being a decent human being, which I thought was excellent.
Mm. I actually turned that one off. That was boring to me.
It only went for 3 minutes.
Oh, okay. I tuned out then.
Easily bored.
That's a long 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay, I turned off at one and a half minutes then halfway through.
Yeah. That's a glowing
fucking hilarious, Ab.
But what about the Cavendish?
I thought it was longer.
What about Cavendish? His claim is the Achilles heel
really
of scientism.
Good.
And the fact that he said he could weigh the mass of the earth by hanging lead balls in his shed.
Well, I thought that was a good Achilles heel. I thought he was right on the ball with that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Do I sound like I'm being ironic? No, yeah, I agree. I agree. I think that's
great.
A really good point. Someone say, you know, tell me it isn't. And so you effectively can make it up. It's,
maybe I should play that at the end. Alanis Morissette, ironic.
Well, that's how they weighed every planet since, you know, or so to speak. You know, this.
Yeah.
It's tenuous.
I do like the guy. I really do.
He's smart.
I think he infuriates certain people. He infuriates people.
Yeah.
But I think he's great.
Well, he's got a bit.
He's very smart.
He can come across with a supercilious tone, can't he? A bit. You know what I mean?
Sanctimonious.
A sense of sort of superiority, or
isn't that sanctimonious? No, he's sort of potty.
Well, yeah, it's sanctimonious. You think you're in the right, and so there's a bit. It's more sort of that kind of supercilious sense in a sense of
I try and treat everyone equally. It wouldn't matter, Tommy, if you were Freddie Mercury or Madonna or whatever.
He's a very clever guy, and he's on his own. It seems he's on his fucking own. Because I've seen him, I've heard him do fucking 7-hour audios, and he's one of the few people I could listen to for that long. Actually, you know, thinking out loud, maybe. You know, I know he reads a lot with other stuff. He prepares him, gets anal, but you know, he might be just a young guy making his way on his own. He's fucking, you know, he's all right. You know, he speaks with a lot of clarity, and you know, I don't know. This flat Earth thing has been fucking pushed without doubt, but was he just roped in by David Weiss, who cleverly thought, oh, this guy could moderate a few things, well, get Le Bon on it. And John Nuss just went for it and he's very, you know, intelligent and capable. And he helped make this flat earth movement popularized, you know, popularize it.
That Weiss guy messaged me too and wanted to talk to me. And after that thing with Kay Ham, I said, look, I want nothing to do with you, mate.
Oh, so he was contacting you, getting his name around, So Kay, in that instance, and Hoy sort of made a good point early on there, didn't they? And I thought they were quite tough on him, but well, to be honest, you know.
Well, I spoke to Hoy the morning when Kay did the David Weiss the day before, or was it on the day? I spoke to Hoy for about 40 minutes. We didn't record it, but I think he was a little bit concerned, and I said, you've got nothing to worry about, mate. Weiss is I know somebody who died on 9/11. Go fuck yourself with that bullshit.
Well, yeah, I mean but we all know there is these people, you know, an actor who probably was a security guard who did work down there, who did that, and you could have seen him about, you know. So these were actors in place.
Do you know what the hard part is, though? The work he did with the Boston Marathon with PK is superb. Yeah. That's the thing that's troubling to me.
Well, yeah. I mean, maybe there was a... Long-term con. You've got to have credibility, haven't you? Like Ab said earlier, you've got to come in with the good sell.
Yeah.
Maybe that was his segue in, or what is his?
Maybe
there
are plants,
you know,
though.
Not his
way, we
his
said
way
there's
in.
many different ways to simulate people. Maybe there are plants that come into a community for a couple of years, and people do get to actually know them. That kind of thing. What do you think of that?
Yeah. Yeah, agent in situ, you know. Definitely. Long con things like that would go on.
Sure.
Yeah, certainly on bigger things or whatever, yeah. Definitely.
Who's left in the chat tonight?
Oh, I've been checking it. Let me have a look. Have a quick look. Give me a sec. Down, down, down. You've got to bring it up, Ab. It's way too low.
You don't like it down there?
Bring it up. Here we go.
Where do you want it?
Now. What's up?
Where would you like it?
I don't know. You had it further up before.
You don't want it.
Okay. Oh, it looks like my internet's playing up. Give me a sec. I'll just have to turn my internet off and on again.
All right.
Playing up.
You working tomorrow, Tom?
No, not to any great extent. I've got to go somewhere about 9 a.m. Cycle about a few miles out and do something.
Oh, you're a cycler. Good for you.
Uh-huh. Well, I don't drive. I never have.
Oh, you don't drive. Okay.
No, I'm, you know, it's, I'm embarrassed to admit.
All right. You live in a big city. You don't have to.
Well, we live in a city. It's called Cycle City, and it's very flat. It was the Fenland.
Where? Cambridge?
Yeah, it was Fenland for years, underwater. So it's at one point sort of half underwater, you know, before it was irrigated by the Dutch who came over and helped us do it, apparently. But yeah, it was it's quite flat, so it's good for cycling. It's quite a lot. It's promoted here, and there's a lot of cycle lanes, so you can cycle all over Cambridge. And I go all over the countryside, really. I can, you know, I get on a train and I can go wherever I want, a lot of places, and take my bike with me. And could go.
Good health.
get out the other end and cycle another 10 miles somewhere, you know.
Do you ever go to Holland?
That's a good idea.
Do you ever go to Holland? Because that's a big...
I have been. I've never cycled there. Yeah, I've been to Holland. Yeah, it's all right. Be flat as well.
They bike a lot there, right? Amsterdam?
Yeah. Amsterdam, yeah.
Copenhagen?
That's Denmark. Yeah,
yeah, I know.
They probably do. Yeah. I don't know. I haven't been there. But yes, these places in Europe. Nice places. Have you been anywhere over this side of the ocean?
No. Then? No, I haven't.
Have you gone far south?
Florida.
Oh, that's quite far.
Mexico.
Mexico. Ah, sí, señor. You made the border. You made the border.
Yeah.
The fucking Alamo. Señor. Well, that's all right. Yeah, well, that's quite a long way. I was just looking at the map and seeing the proportion. Because in reality, China is four times bigger than Greenland. And Africa is three times bigger than North America.
Wow.
And Mexico is larger than Alaska. That's some going, isn't it? It was told us Alaska was vast. But it's just the old Mercator projection. Which is,
it's
1596 technology, that is. This is what we've been taught. These are some of the interesting questions that are brought up by looking at the world.
Right, I agree.
This isn't brought to by just the flat earth wave. This was brought out in the Daily Mail in 2014, May 2014. So this, the year before. Flat Earth push, but this Mercator map was talked about being wrong.
It's just Kay Hammond and someone called Versite, Vercite.
That's Vidya. It's Kay and Vidya.
Oh, it's Vidya, is it?
Yeah, Kay and Vidya. They're in there. They're listening live. Come on, girls.
Well, there's Ab just joined.
Well, Versite, I don't know. That's not Vidya.
Logged in three times, so I must be looking at different pages. So, yeah, it'd be nice to get Kayham. If you're listening, Kayham, come on down. Join us.
You can fit because this was it. I like that stat. You could fit North America into Africa and still have space for India, Argentina, Tunisia. I mean, this is
Everything over the other side of the South Pole. All the other countries that we don't know about.
Well, how big are the fucking poles then? You know what I mean? Isn't it absurd that we haven't actually got it properly? Someone can't create a ball with a proper map on it. Or can they? Yeah. Maybe there is. Maybe they exist. The real map exists, the projection. Because if it is on an oblate sphere, either can't we then replicate it and make a model of it accurately? Because the map we're looking at is not properly scaled. Oh, I don't know. Maybe there is a map site that's globes.
I always like that line. Did you ever watch Blackadder, Tommy?
Yeah.
When he was going to go around the Cape of Good Hope. And the latest cartographers have given us this map. And it was like a blank sheet of paper. It's a kind of fill it in as you go along.
Yeah. Perfect.
Wasn't it?
Perfect.
Yeah, you must have loved Blackadder. I mean, that's some of the best humor I don't know. Have you ever watched it, Ab? Blackadder?
No, what's that about?
Yeah, it's a comedy series about history, Elizabethan times, and what was the first one? Anyway, it's if you're bored and you need a laugh, Blackadder. You can't go wrong.
All right. I'm going to try and watch Michael Moore's latest movie, Where to Invade Next.
Oh, yeah, what's that about?
I don't know. I think he just goes around the world looking at different countries, how they do things compared to the U.S.
Well, I enjoyed, I must say, at the time, I enjoyed Fahrenheit 9/11, but then I'm now since disgusted by it because he didn't even include the tower collapses in the film.
It's been so long since I've seen it, I'll have to rewatch it. I don't remember
much about it. He just makes it black and plays the sound. It's basically, I can't see anything different from the official story apart from saying that the U.S. government let the bin Ladens out of America or whatever is the whole family.
Yes.
And blaming the Carlyle Group or whatever it was. So George Bush being sort of
knowing about it. Yeah, he promoted the Saudi. He promoted the Saudi.
The Saudi
did it,
yeah,
angle.
That's right.
Right.
That's it. That's the angle, yeah.
Well, that is an official, semi-official story. They're still banging on about it today. The 28 pages.
Oh,
doing
yeah.
Saudi Arabia.
Have you read the official 9/11 commission report?
No.
I've read it. Oh, my God. It is just worse than a Tom Clancy novel. It's just bullshit from start to finish.
Okay.
Yep. Like,
isn't it a big one?
Like the plane flying into the side of the Pentagon, a flat building like the Pentagon, and they decide to fly a plane in sideways. God. Just go, what? What world am I living in where people are like, I believe that shit too at the time.
We all did.
Incredible.
For a minute.
Johnny Rumsfeld just happened to be safe on the other side of the Pentagon.
And it crashed right into the accountant's office, who the day before had been implicated in $2.3 trillion gone missing. You know, that was a rabbit trail, that fucker was, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
But the more important is, like, all the bloody cameras, and we get 5 frames.
Yeah, I know. Do they ridiculous. Need to tell us anymore? Yeah, that's ridiculous.
I'm going to find that.
Roll, you should call into Chris's show.
Yeah, I might do that. I might do that later on today. I'm sober. I've had a couple of spliffs, but I'm pretty sober, so
oh, you'd be
Chris
good.
Will let me on.
You will. Chris is a great guy. He likes you.
Yeah, well, I like him a lot.
I'm pretty sure he would take you on after his opening monologue. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I'll give it a go. I'll give it a go, and I'll give you guys a shout-out.
Oh, you're always good for that. You're always good like that.
Yeah. Were you, Chrissy, like you liked you saying her name the other day?
Pardon me?
You mentioned my wife's name the other day.
Oh, right. She listened
enjoyed,
to that?
She enjoyed hearing the shout-out from you.
Hey, shout out to Chrissy again. Why not?
There you go.
Everyone's favorite word is their own name.
Oh, yeah. The trouble with me is that after I've shaken hands with a person, the name goes straight to the floor.
Oh, me too. I can't remember names. What you do is you have to associate something with their name as quickly as possible.
If you're a car salesman, yeah. Car salesmen are hopeless because then they just keep reinforcing the name and they just go, look. Will you stop saying my name? I heard it the first time. Have you ever been buying a car off a car salesman? They just,
no.
They must have been taught yeah, to say your name over and over again because it makes people feel good to hear their own name, doesn't it?
It bugs me because I know there are people are trying too hard when I hear my name.
Yeah, you know it.
It always bothers me.
I never call you Tim. I always call you Ab because that's the first name. Wake up with Ab, right?
I never that's call it. You Rolo. I call you Cunt.
C-bomb. There we go. I knew we'd get one.
Tom, you got the best laugh. It's almost manic.
Hey, someone who enjoy your life, don't you, Tommy? You're just out there having a good time.
I can sometimes get in the moment, and I love it. Yeah, sometimes, you know, not all the time. I have struggles like anyone else, I'm sure. But
oh yeah.
Oh yeah. No. It's good to laugh.
Oh, yeah. No one can be happy all the time. I mean, there's mundane. But I just, when I'm talking to you guys or I'm online and I'm seeing something that's well worth watching, it just makes you feel good. Or if I'm out, basically out watching a game of baseball like I did last weekend, 2 games of baseball. Mm. I shouldn't have played, though. God, my body is. I'm just too old for baseball now. Played 2 games. My body just can't handle it anymore.
Well, don't give up. If you don't do it, you won't keep doing it.
Well, I didn't have proper shoes on either. Ab said, what is it, shoes are like crutches the other day? And I thought about that, and I went, you're probably right.
Did you go barefoot?
No, I played in thongs because I didn't bring my cleats because I thought I'd just
thongs are, yeah, thongs aren't going to work. That'll
well,
hurt
look,
your feet.
They didn't mind. That was
playing
a good day.
Ladies,
the dog,
ladies
dog
control
itself.
Yourselves. This image of Rolo playing baseball in a thong.
Oh, yeah, like Borat. No,
two thongs.
I'm talking about thongs on my feet.
Talk about what you like, mate.
We, our new dog. Have you seen it? You seen my dog, Tommy?
Yes, darling. It was a puppy last time I saw it. It was only small.
Yeah, it's she's now 9 months, so she's a lot older, and it's a joy. Joy to have. Never been as happy as I am now.
You're absolutely in love with the dog. It's a great companion, is it? What breed is it?
It's a King Charles Spaniel Cavalier tricolour.
Wow.
Yeah. Purebred. It was apparently a daughter of something that won the Australian equivalent of Crufts.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's got breeding then.
Oh, yeah. You betcha.
He had to pay real dollars for her.
Oh, yeah. She was about 1500.
Wow.
Beautiful. Great temperament. She's fast asleep on the couch as we speak.
Oh, lovely. No, it must be lovely.
Do you have a dog? I know Ounce of Salt Frank McManus has one because he was barking the other night.
Well, Frank quite often barks, I think.
What do you think of Frank, Tommy?
Yeah,
you'll be listening to this.
Frankie. No, Frank's all right. No, I'm fine. I'm friendly with Frank. He's a. I just think there was the... the Dallas Goldbug stuff that he always used to push.
Yeah.
He's absolutely trolling with it. It's like someone being really stubborn about it. And it was just like, oh, God, tedious, you know. That's a big naughty boy. You did? You did?
I had a big punch-up with him one night. We were yelling at each other. Anyway, we've since chilled out. I actually kind of like what most of what he says now.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I'm all right with Frank. But, you know, all right for now.
I still can't go along with, Jodie Foster being Julia Gillard or any of that nonsense. But maybe that's just his sense of humour. It's just...
Maybe he's just an arguing the, yeah. I think sometimes it's a logical argument he was trying to make, but I'm not sure it made any sense.
No, never will. And JFK is not Jimmy Carter.
Jimmy Carter, yeah, that's right. Oh, dear, oh, dear.
Again, it's just the turd in the punch bowl. There's no doubt about it.
If you go along with that, you really do look like a kooky loon. And then anything else you say makes you look, like everything you say.
Dallas Goldbug, I think, is right, and a lot of these politicians register fake names.
Yeah.
Barack Obama, I'm sure, is not his name. That's his stage name. His real name probably is Barry Sotero.
Shapiro.
And because of that, they went into the whole – when they decided to manage the whole question of his name, they went into birth certificates, which is, to me – probably a total red herring, and who his father was. All that was to distract you from the fact, probably, that he just took a stage name. He really is Barry Sotero, probably, but I don't know for sure. But he is not using his legal name. Therefore, there's many things he can do that are deceptive, and he doesn't have to worry about consequences because it's not his proper corporate name. I think Dallas Goldbug talks about that a lot, and that could be correct. I'm not saying it is, but it sounds reasonable to me. That sounds reasonable. But Jimmy Carter and JFK being the same person is not reasonable.
Yeah, and look, it's not – I mean, most of – I think Frank's kind of fearless with what he says too, with most of the other stuff, when we were talking cancer the other night, we were talking all sorts of subjects.
Yeah.
And he's makes total sense and quite reasonable. But this whole idea of this Dave J. Dallas Goldbug, people are literally different. Like they're saying Jodie Foster is Julia Gillard.
No.
It's idiocy. They're not the same person.
It's telling you that you should not believe your eyes, and your eyes tell you quite easily that they're not the same. Your eyes, your own eyes, you can see they're not. There's no amount of makeup that is altering one to be the other. See that? So if you're told not to trust your eyes, then you may as well just close them because they're useless to you if you cannot discern, right? You may as well just be blind.
I agree.
But the idea they use actors in a lot of these psyops, that is probably true. Not actors, you know.
Failed actors like, he's live
Mr.
now. Do you want me to pipe through some hoaxbusters? He's live now.
He's live already?
Yeah, it says live now, so let me just check. I'll be able
he's
to pipe
starting
through.
At 9 o'clock.
Oh, is it? Let me just, I'm just opening the window now. But, yeah, like I say, I'm glad that you allowed Frank back. And, like, if you ever did get to interview Dallas Goldbug, I'd hope you'd, I'm only the only one in the chat, you'd just ask, why do you think these people are the same people when we know that they're not? They're just not.
Well, I think my idea that the ears keep growing kind of blows away the ear comparison. You can't compare something that's always changing, can you?
No, that, can't. That would, changes over time.
That wouldn't be that wouldn't be forensic. You have to have something that doesn't change. I don't think your fingerprint changes. I don't think your
I smashed a glass at the pub one time and cut right up the middle of my finger, so my fingerprint certainly isn't
It didn't regrow back?
No, there's a great big scar. There's a great big scar up there.
I think your irises, I think your retinas don't change.
That's iridology, isn't it?
It's iridology. Incredibly difficult to tell from different photographs from different angles, isn't it?
Yeah.
You look at different photographs of yourself at different angles for different times in your life, and you can look quite different. I know I can.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Especially when you hit middle age.
You don't look the same as when you were nutmegging around the stage?
Oh, I looked just the same as then, yeah. No, 20 years ago, whatever, you know. No, it's longer than that, 30 years ago. Oh, my God, you know.
Yeah.
But it's impossible.
I really enjoyed you thrashing your head around and just
what an idiot.
Good stuff.
Oh,
just enjoying yourself.
I really used to throw myself around. Madness, but idiot. But I don't know what we're talking about. I'm tired. I'm getting tired.
Yeah, I'm gonna probably sign off. I want to watch. See if I can watch this Michael Moore movie. I have to see if it came down the Special Flicks movie service that I use. I use Special Flicks. You guys use Special Flicks or Netflix?
Netflix, but I got it for my daughter, and then.
I use Special Flicks.
What is it, Michael Moore film? What's it called? What's it about?
Where to Invade Next. I've always liked Michael Moore. I don't care if he's controlled mainstream, but I always liked the movie. The first one was Roger and Me. That was great. That was really good. Well,
and then Columbine, but Columbine.
I had a lot of family in Michigan, so I can see the firsthand devastation of an industry that just moves out, basically. It's crazy.
Right.
It's really crazy how big it was in Michigan.
You think he's legit, as in he's a dude?
I think he started off I think he probably did start off as an independent filmmaker, yeah. You know, if you want to continue your career, you got to plug into the system. You can't just operate outside the system forever. So he plugged into the system, and now he's making movies for the system.
But didn't get September Clues from Michael Moore. We got Fahrenheit 9/11.
Yeah, exactly.
Of course.
I'm just trying. Yeah, I think he's almost. You could say, in the sense, we haven't not someone who's talking to intelligence. Sorry,
but we're talking about musicians. We're talking about authors. If they want to go far into the system, they have to comply. Why? That's so easy to understand, isn't it? And there's a million great musicians just waiting to be promoted. What else are they? Where else are they going to go in their career? Otherwise, they're going to have to do something else to eat, and everything else will have to be part time. If you want to do it full time and be promoted, then you have to sing from their songbook.
Here we go. This is what you're about to watch.
In a sense, he might not.
It's been 6 years since anyone's seen him. But when our nation needs help, America's secret weapon is the only one who can save us.
USA! Yeah!
My mission? I will invade countries with names I can mostly pronounce. Take the things we need from them and bring it all back home. Because
he's already got
problems
the movie.
No army could solve.
Sorry, Ab.
You already got the movie.
You already got
good
the
for
movie.
You.
Good for you.
No, it's just a trailer.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to tell you from my own personal life, abstinence works.
One man will search the world for answers, and you won't believe what he'll find.
You're in prison for murder.
Yeah.
Right behind you are a whole bunch of very sharp knives.
Yeah.
Prepare to be shocked.
This is what American children eat for lunch.
It's like an episode of CSI here.
Get ready for the movie that is so dangerous.
I'm going to plant the American flag in your living room.
The powers that be don't want you to see.
How much debt do you have here being a student? Do you know what I mean by debt?
Not really.
Debt is when you owe other people a whole lot of money.
No, we don't have any.
We don't have.
The American dream seemed to be alive and well everywhere but America.
How can you feel okay with it?
I don't feel okay about it.
Every kid should have the same opportunity to have education and health care.
If the world can't be saved, it will be women that do that.
We stay together. We open our hearts. We open our society.
If they can do it, surely we can.
I've turned into this kind of crazy optimist. 3 years ago, gay marriage in the United States was outlawed. Now, law of the land. Really proves anything can happen.
Papa, manchen das Restaurant ce soir?
Oui, Papa, die neuen wir.
Excellent today. Me demande à maman de voir.
I'm not a party for the restaurant. Pourquoi pas, maman? Voilà le dîner.
What the fuck is this?
Where to invade next is the name of the film, and that's what Aberetto.info is just about to watch.
Yeah.
Good oh, yeah.
It's
left-wing Hollywood, baby.
Crazy.
I guess it is.
Well, yeah, it's interesting.
Looks like Chris is starting.
I'm bailing.
Well, okay.
Here we go. Hey, Do you want me to pipe a little bit through? Here we go.
No, well, I'm...
That's Chris Kendall. Nice song to start with.
It sounds like Lemmy.
That's all right. We'll leave that alone.
Hey guys, yeah, great to talk to you and catch you later.
Yeah.
Phoenix, hey, would you let me to go with the
nice
ironic?
Chatting with you guys.
Cheers, Ab. See you later. See you, Rolls. Night.
See you, mate.
Yeah, that's an overplayed song for me. But
what would you like?
I don't have any preferences right now. We didn't have a theme to tonight's chat, really.
Not really.
Did we?
Not really, but anything you like. Something a little different, yeah? Sorry, am I putting you on the spot?
Well, maybe Walk Like an Egyptian, because we talked about Egypt there. I bet you like that song.
Well, it's Susanna Hoffs. She was a youngster, and she was very, very pretty.
She's very hot.
Oh, yeah. There we go. So we got with Walk Like an Egyptian. Well, Ab, as always, it's a pleasure as always.
Yeah, it was great. We had a nice chat today. I did some gardening while you guys were talking. And
it's a beautiful day here, too. And I hope, are you still gardening? Or is what time?
No, it's dark now. I'm ready to, I've worked all day. Outside doing a million things that I should have in the last week or two.
It's always good to talk to you, man. So there we go.
All right, it's queued up.
Yep.
All right. All the best to you and yours. We'll talk to you during the week, maybe.
Yep. Cheers. Here we are, fakeologist.com. Walk like an Egyptian. Thanks, Ab. Thanks, Tommy. And thanks, Felix. Take that, push the microphone.
Psychologist.com.